Camelot. Camelot. Camelot.
It's only a model.
Shh. Knights, I bid you welcome to your new home. Let us ride to Camelot.
We're knights of the round table. We dance where we're able. We do routines, we call the scenes, we put work in bed cable. We dine well here in Camelot. We eat ham and jam and spam art. We're knights of the round table. Our shows are more mid-table. The many times we give and rhyme that are quite unsingable. We're off to bed in Camelot. We sing from the dire Camelot.
I have to push the pram a lot.
Well, on second thoughts, let's not go to Camelot.
Sam, sorry.
It is a silly place.
What knight lives in that castle over there?
I'm 37.
What?
I'm 37. I'm not old.
Well, I can't just call you man.
You could say Dennis.
I didn't know you were called Dennis.
Well, you didn't bother to find out, did you?
I did say sorry about the old woman, but from behind you looked...
What I object to is you automatically treat me like an inferior.
Well, I am king.
Oh, king, eh? Very nice. And how'd you get that, eh? By exploiting the workers. By hanging on to outdated imperialist dogma which perpetuates the economic and social differences in our society. If there's ever going to be any progress...
Dennis, there's some lovely filth down here. Oh, how'd you do?
How do you do, good lady? I'm Arthur, King of the Britons. Whose castle is that?
King of the who?
The Britons.
Who are the Britons?
Well, we all are. We are all Britons. And I am your king.
I didn't know we had a king. I thought we were an autonomous collective.
You're fooling yourself. We're living in a dictatorship. A self-perpetuating autocracy in which the working classes...
Oh, there you go, bringing class into it again.
That's what it's all about. If only people would...
Please, please, good people. I am in haste. Who lives in that castle?
No one lives there.
Then who is your lord?
We don't have a lord.
What?
I told you, we're an anarcho-syndicalist commune. We take it in turns to act as a sort of executive officer for the week.
Yes.
But all the decisions of that officer have to be ratified at a special bi-weekly meeting.
Yes, I see.
By a simple majority in the case of purely internal affairs.
Be quiet.
But by a two-thirds majority in the case of more...
Be quiet. I order you to be quiet.
Order? Who does he think he is?
I'm your king.
Well, I didn't vote for you.
You don't vote for kings?
Well, how'd you become king, then?
The Lady of the Lake. Her arm clad in the purest shimmering samite held aloft Excalibur from the bosom of the water, signifying by divine providence that I, Arthur, was to carry Excalibur. That is why I'm your king.
Listen, strange women lying in ponds distributing swords is no basis for a system of government. Supreme executive power derives from a mandate from the masses, not from some farcical aquatic ceremony.
Be quiet!
Oh, but you can't expect to wield supreme executive power just because some watery tart threw a sword at you.
Shut up!
Oh, but if I went round saying I was an emperor just because some moistened bint had lobbed a scimitar at me, they put me away.
Shut up! Will you shut up?
Ah, now we see the violence inherent in the system.
Shut up!
Oh. Come and see the violence inherent in the system! Help! Help! I'm being repressed!
Bloody peasant!
Oh, what a giveaway! Did you hear that? Did you hear that, eh? That's what I'm on about! Did you see him repressing me? You saw it, didn't you?
Hee hee! King Shaziz the Turbo! All rise for King Shaziz the Turbo and the Knights of the Round Table!
Something happening here, but what it is ain't exactly clear. There's a man with a gun over there, telling me I got to beware. I think it's time we stop, children, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going down.
saying wrong. Nobody's right if everybody's wrong. Young people speak in their minds are getting so much resistance from behind. Every time we stop, hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going down. What a field day for the heat. A thousand people in the street singing songs and carrying signs. Mostly say hooray for our side. It's time we stop. Hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going down. Tracks deep into your life, it will creep. It starts when you're always afraid. Step out of line, the man come and take you away. We better stop. Hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going on. We better stop. Hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going on. We better stop now. What's that sound? Everybody look what's going on. We better stop. Children, what's that sound?
Says it's the end of time, and the Mississippi River, she's a gold dry. The interest is up and the stock market's down, and you're only getting mugged if you go downtown. I live back in the woods, you see, my woman and the kids and the dogs and me. Got a shotgun, a rifle, and a four-wheel drive, and a country boy can survive. Country folks can survive. I can plow a field all day long. I can catch catfish from dusk till dawn. Make our own whiskey and our own smoke too. Too many things these old boys can't do. We grow good old tomatoes and homemade wine, and country boy can survive. Country folks can survive. Because you can't starve us out and you can't make us run. Those women old boys raised on shotguns. From the West Virginia coal mines and the Rocky Mountains and the western skies. And we can skin a buck, we can run a trot line, and a country boy can survive. Country folks can survive. I had a good friend in New York City. He never called me by my name, just Hillbilly. My grandpa taught me how to live off the land, and his taught him to be a businessman. He used to send me pictures of the Broadway nights, and I'd send him some homemade wine. But he was killed by a man with a switchblade knife. For $43, my friend lost his life. I'd love to spit some beach nut in that dude's eyes and shoot him with my old 45, 'cause a country boy can survive. Country folks can survive.
Union, South Alabama, and little towns all around this land. We can skin a buck and run a trot line, and a country boy can survive. Country folks can survive.
everybody. You're listening to the Knights of the Round Table with old King Shaziz the Terrible, and Honorable Knight Thomas is in here, and we'll see who else shows up. You know, we spend a lot of time talking about a lot of negativity out there in the world and a lot of different things going on that are frustrating. But today, I kind of want to dedicate the show to pointing out some individuals out there in the world who have some creative talent. And, you know, I don't necessarily think they get noticed as much as they should, because there's a whole lot of brilliant individuals out there that do some really wonderful work. And even in all their projects, you can see the craftsmanship where they take the time to make these things that they're working on look good. You know, one of the videos that I posted over there in the ShazizRadio.com superchat.html has to do with a pulse motor with a hybrid coil made by Tin Man Power out there on YouTube. Now, he does a lot of research out there in different coil configurations and motors and stuff, and you know, he takes the time to explain a lot of stuff to you. And there's a lot of anomalies in a lot of these different pulse motors that he's finding what I believe to be more efficient ways of running, you know, and actually making motor generators. So, you know, I think that's a worthy link, and to watch his work is you know, it's brilliance. And so just kind of want to, you know, start off pointing out a few people like that right there. One of the folks, he's a Spanish-speaking individual. He does really amazing work. If you look at his coils that he makes out there, they're just really beautiful. It's artistic, you know. And he goes by the name of Sky Collection out there on YouTube. That video link there for the quad filer coil and conventional coil is posted there also in the ShazizRadio.com superchat.html. And he does have those lines underneath there that tell you what he's saying, because I don't speak Spanish.
Subtitles,
yeah.
Yeah.
He got subtitles on his video, and so you'll still be able to understand what it is he's talking about. But you know, all you got to do is watch what he's doing, and it's brilliant work. He has a few videos out there that actually shows you how he makes pancake coils and stuff like that, and he really makes some really neat looking magnet motors and magnet rotors and stuff, and just really fine craftsmanship. And that's one of the things I compliment him on every time I watch his videos, is that, you know, he does an amazing job. And the next link that I got down there is by MakerJ101. It's a young man out there. I'm estimating he's probably 15, 16 years old, maybe somewhere around about, but brilliant young individual. He salvages up a lot of different parts from things. He does all kinds of different how-to videos. And right now he's in the process of making an internal combustion engine, no machine shop, soldering the head and the crank seal. And he's got part 5 out there, and at the end of part 5 you actually get to see this little internal combustion engine run. And so, you know, if you've ever been interested in how an internal combustion engine works, you could actually watch him from start to finish build this nifty little motor. It's pretty impressive. I believe he's running it off of propane. But the fact that, you know, for his age and he's doing what he's doing there, it's just, in my mind, sheer brilliance. And so if you have an opportunity to go over and check out his channel and like and subscribe his work there, then, you know, maybe you can encourage him to continue on doing the YouTube videos and stuff. It's, you know, I see this all the time because I watch tons and tons of videos. I see all these people out there that are doing amazing work, and I just think that somebody needs to bring them to the forefront, because I always talk about putting together the dream team, you know. If you could actually get all these brilliant minds in the same shop at the same time, you know, we could solve a lot of issues, design a lot of different stuff, and, you know, just kind of benefit the world, putting things out there that are useful that people need. So, you know, go check out those channels if you like, and one of the other individuals, Lid Motor out there, you know, he shows a lot of schematics in it, and while he don't always explain in graphic detail of how things are working, he has some brilliant work as well. But he does some really amazing things with some little bitty motors. They call them easy spin motors, and he finds different ways to run them on in the milliamp range. And it's pretty impressive, the work that he does. I've been following him for quite some time, and he's always got some really good information out there. He does replications of other people's motors, like Renstar.org and Laser Saber and a few of the other individuals out there on YouTube that work in alternative energy and different mechanical kind of things. And also a new one that I noticed out there, I haven't posted a link for this one yet, but if you Google up making a bad 12 volt battery good again under $5, you'll find a it's a Redicity 12, I think is what it says. He took alum, which is what you make pickles with, and rejuvenated a battery. And so essentially he took an old dead battery and was able to flush it out with some baking soda, and then pour this alum water mix down inside there, and basically charged the battery up overnight, and was able to go out and start his truck up with a battery that would have otherwise been wasted. And so, you know, alum is something you could probably get at your local grocery store if you're into pickling stuff. So
I'm kind of wondering, actually, if you could just use sodium hydroxide, like just make a diluted solution of it and wash the battery out. The trick with that is that you'd end up with the sodium sulfate.
Yeah.
Really strong reactive process, so it'll basically strip all the sulfur out of your battery, but you should, you know, break down all the stuff off that's connected to that's basically bonded to the lead, making it impossible to be able to use it anymore.
Well, he did point out that you want to do this outside with the baking soda, because it does vent and bubbles up, and basically when you pour
that, use baking soda,
just regular baking soda,
okay,
and water mix.
So it's carbon and sodium.
Yeah.
So there's a stronger reaction between the sulfur and the sodium than there is between the bond between the carbon and the sodium. They're just exchanging places.
Yeah, and then he said basically you pour this in there and wait for it to stop bubbling, you know, and he went through the process twice to ensure he got it cleaned out real good. And then he put his alum and water mixture in there and basically made a pickle battery, a pickle juice battery.
Okay, so he switched from using sulfur to using something else. Awesome.
Yeah. So now it's a non-toxic material that's inside of what used to be a lead-acid battery. So,
you mean a non-caustic.
Well, yeah, okay. So
lead is toxic, but it's not caustic. It won't burn you.
Well, I was talking about the actual electrolyte inside there, the chemicals. Instead of using battery acid, he just used basically pickle juice.
Mm-hmm.
Which I thought was pretty impressive, you know. And
I wonder if you could use vinegar. Vinegar's an acid.
I don't know. It's possible. You know, that would be a worthy field of research to find out what you could use instead of battery acid.
Right.
But, you know, with this process, you know, heck, you could take any old dead battery and at least get some life back out of it for storage, you know. Just you got to be careful when you're messing around with those whenever you're emptying them out, not to spill battery acid on your clothing or yourself or anything. And, you know, once you get it all flushed out and try the different mixtures in there and see what works best.
Be careful, because apparently acetate can actually bond to lead and make what they call sugar of lead.
Sugar of lead? I've never heard that.
Yeah, no, I just looked up lead acetate, so, which is what forms whenever you take vinegar and mix it with the metals that will bond to it, as it makes a metal acetate mixture. You can do this with copper and vinegar, and add a little bit of hydrogen peroxide to speed the process up, and you get these acetate greenish-blue acetate crystals that are basically copper bonded to the vinegar.
Wow. So. Well, see, you know, that's another thing. You know, one of the other brilliant individuals that I'd like to point out is my buddy Thomas Anderson right here.
Yeah, yeah.
Got a lot of research in that brain there, you know. And not to mention that, go over and check out his website.
You can't talk bad about me if my back's not to you. Come on now. Cut that out.
He does some really nice artwork. And as long as I've known him, he's been a wonderful individual. So there's another guy out there. But if you know some folks out there that you see their work and you're impressed by it, you know, you feel like there's somebody else needs to see the talents and skills that they got, you know.
Networking.
Yeah, networking. Throw their links up there so we can go check out their YouTubes or Facebooks or whatever, you know. And you get all these brilliant individuals in the same circle and start building some things, man, you'd be surprised what you come out with. And not only will you come out with something that works, you'll actually come out with something that looks good, man, because the artist in Thomas ain't gonna make it if it looks like heck, you know.
Yeah, sometimes I have to make things that don't look that great.
Well, believe me, I know what you're talking about, because I recycle junk to make some of the projects that I make, but my thing is more proving that if you can do it with junk, you can imagine what you could do with it in a machine shop, if you know what I mean.
Right. Yeah, actually, I built my CNC mill completely out of stuff that was, you know, recycled. Used MDF board that basically a cabinet making company was throwing away chunks of, and rails, C-channel rails off of server racks that had been thrown away by a large corporation here. Stuff would end up in the junk heap, and I still ended up, I mean, it looks terrible, but incredibly accurate. And, you know, it's a tool. It's meant to basically make things. It's not meant to sit on a shelf or hang from a wall and, you know, decorate a room.
Well, as long as it works, brother, that's what it's all about, you mm-hmm. know, and there's a lot of things that can be done with that, you know. Those 3D printers, I'm just amazed by those 3D printers. There's so much that you could do with those 3D printers, it's just mind-boggling. You know, I get all these ideas for, like, custom-made motors, you know, and I'm thinking, man, you could print out the cores and everything on these things.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, they actually make an iron particle filament. It's basically just plastic with bits of iron dust in it. So you could make an iron core out of that by printing it out. Not sure how effective it would be, but you can. There are plenty of places to get information on how to make your own filament too. So you could conceivably go hunt yourself down one of those projects, build a filament extruder, and then start making your own custom filament.
Oh, yeah. On that note, go over and check out RWG Research. Russ Grease over there at RWG Research, he actually goes through and shows you how he built the filament extruder for his 3D printer. And he does some really amazing work. That's another individual that I like to put out there, because you know, when he builds projects, they look good. It's just the craftsmanship. It's just amazing. And he's a really wonderful soul to talk to in person. And, you know, as far as his YouTube channel, man, you know, he's just a good guy. And so there's a lot of people out there like that. I got to read a comment that Stone Lee put down there in the chat room. He said, art is never finished, it's abandoned.
yeah, that's true. You can always find something else you can do to improve it. So,
yeah.
Well, you just have to cut the cord and let it live. You know?
So the artist is his worst critic, you know. I've seen some really brilliant masterpieces. People are like, you know, this is terrible. And I said, man, what are you talking about? I couldn't do that. That's beautiful, you know. So, yeah, that's. I had to read that out because that rung a bell there. I see a lot of guys and gals out there that can really draw good, and they can always find a flaw in it. And I'm like, I didn't even see that till you pointed it out.
Well, something more important to point out, being an artist, I can see those flaws in other people's work, and instead of it detracting from it for me, it actually adds to it. Because that just means I'm not looking at something that was pooped out of a mold, you know?
Yeah.
That's not to say make things that are flawed on purpose, because then that kind of defeats the whole point of the flaws. The flaws are like little pieces of your personality slipping through into your artwork. if you're doing it on purpose, then, you know, that's like trying too hard to be somebody's friend, or, you know, trying too hard to be the nice guy or something, you know?
Yeah.
Just be yourself, you know? Let your art be itself, too.
That's what I'm thinking. I think everybody out there has some really good talents, and if they spend less time trying to impress people and just doing what it is that they're capable of doing, it's just mind-boggling to think of what they could actually do, you know? I've seen folks out there, and you wouldn't necessarily consider maybe an electrician to be an artist, but if you sit there back and you watch them work and the skill set that they do, and even when they're finally done with it, it looks good. It don't look like it was just slapped together with a screwdriver and a pair of fence wire pliers or something like that, you know? it looks good. So even in, you know, other fields out there, I've seen some roofers out there that'll lay down a really good roof. The shingles are you know, perfect. You look, stand back and look at them. They're not one of them going this way while the other's going that way, you know. They're just so straight across, and they look uniform. They look nice. So, you know, there's...
But we should probably point out that there is a difference between being an artist and being an artesian, you know. That roofer is an artesian. That's not an artist. An artist would go through and make sure everything looks nice and neat and clean, but they could do a mosaic of somebody's face on there with different roofing tiles.
Yeah.
You know, see, make that? Something that you, when you look at it, you go, wow, not just, you know, look past it, and it's just a roof, but it doesn't, you know, it doesn't soar the eye to see it.
Yeah.
That's the artesian. He makes sure that basically whatever he's made fits in your field of view without it making you want to vomit every time you walk past and look at that part of a structure that's a useful structure, like a house or a car or your chairs, you know, but somebody happens to be peeping in your window seeing what kind of furniture you own, you know, because you close your drapes.
Well, I'll tell you one thing, if I roofed a house, you know, it'd be straight in my eyeball. But if you stood back and looked at it, you'd see it'd be crooked as all get out. But standing from my perspective, I'm straightening it up to my eye, see? And I'm not factoring in the whole, if you're standing back there, is it straight?
There you just have to start thinking like the Egyptian, you know? Put down some string running across there to make sure those things are lined up.
Yeah, I've done that too, but my measuring skills, if I'm, you know, off an eighth of an inch on one side, then the next one's going to be off, and then, you know, it just kind of goes out of whack, and so I got all these straight lines that look straight to me, but...
You
got to
stop measuring in sections and just measure the whole length. That way you can't make a mistake, man. The tape measure's always right.
And also there's this thing, there's factor...
Unless you made it.
There's this factor in the roofing where you have to, kind of skew the math just a hair to compensate for, you know, whenever you're going up there. So when you get to the top, you don't have, like, a quarter of a piece of shingle at the top. You got the majority of that shingle so that when you put the roof cap over, it looks, you know, good.
Right.
By the time I got to the top, I'd have like a little quarter-inch strip of shingle that you'd have to tack. It looked bad.
Just use wider toppings. That's all. They make different size shingling for the tops of the roofs.
Yeah, that'd have to be the case there. I'd have to compensate with that a big old sheet of 50-pound granule that would roll over and cover up the flaw in the system. So. You know, when I was back during the day,
you'll have to. You can get plenty of practice with the, you know, all the bad weather that tears shingles up since they don't last very long.
Well, see, when I was back in the roofing days, I was an artistic kind of laborer. You know, I could get your tools to you, I could get your materials to you, and I can get them there timely and have them stacked up nice and neat where you need them, that kind of stuff. But if it came down to laying them, number one, I was slower and all get out, and they come out crooked as heck, because when I'm looking at it, it looks straight. Looks good from my house.
That might be why they were coming out crooked, is because you're going too slow worrying about it.
Yeah, that's probably it.
That's a conscious machine that exists in the back of our brain that's able to basically do all that calculation work for you, you know?
Overthinking the simple.
Well, I used to make gauntlets with spikes. Long time ago, and I found that if I wasn't paying attention to what I was doing, I was just rushing through it, all my rows and lines of spikes would come out in perfect grids. If I sat there and picked at it, trying to make it perfect, it always came out terrible, you know?
Yeah. Well, sometimes you got to have faith in yourself in order to be able to do something, you know? It's, like I said, if you're your worst critic, man, you're going to have problems, you know?
If you really honestly believe you can't talk, you'll lose the ability to speak, you know?
Yeah. So. I've heard some people that can sing like an angel, man, and if you heard them talk about their own singing, they're like ashamed to sing because they think they sound bad. Why
yeah,
it is?
Like, oh crap! Did you catch me in the bed when I was taking a shower?
No,
I didn't know if it was here. Dang it! You know, you somebody lets you in to go, you know, wait for them, and they're in there thinking they're all singing away, and you're like, oh, that's pretty good, and then you compliment them on, and they immediately get embarrassed because they didn't realize they even knew they heard them.
Yeah.
Otherwise, they'd have been like, you know, make sure nobody else can hear them.
I think that every single individual out there has some sort of talent, whether they know it or not, you know. But, you know, what I was saying about earlier is that, you know, on the nights of the roundtable, we have to talk about a lot of things that we don't necessarily like because it's the negativity in the world. But there are positive things out there in the world. There are some brilliant individuals that I feel need to be recognized, you know.
So much positive stuff that basically there's not enough room for the negative stuff anymore.
Yeah, and not only that, there's the benefits of actually going over and checking these out. There's a guy out there called the Crazy Russian Hacker. I don't know if you ever seen any of his videos on YouTube, but he cracks me up. He's kind of fun to listen to. He's got that accent and the way he does his stuff, and safety is always his number one priority, no matter what it is he's doing. You know, he's got his goggles and or his face shield on, but
so he's not Fire Marshal Bill, huh?
No, but he does a lot of life hacks and stuff like that, things that you wouldn't normally think about, you know, and it's brilliant because it gets you to thinking about things that you could do. Like, for instance, I know this sounds kind of weird, but and you want to use a brand new one, I'm sure. He took a toilet brush and put it in a drill, right? And he put some potatoes down in a bucket of water, and he turned on the drill and peeled every single one of these potatoes with a doggone old toilet brush. So, you know, I thought that was pretty doggone cool, because if you've ever sat around and peeled potatoes, that gets obnoxious after a while. Plus, you lose a lot of potato trying to get that peel off. And so, basically, like I said, he put this down in a bucket of water as a good toilet brush, because I'm sure he wasn't going to waste all that potatoes. But he put that down in there and spun that thing up and run it around inside there. You'll see some foam come up on the top there, and eventually he dumps out in the water, and you see perfectly peeled potatoes in the bucket. You know, and I see, when I watch his videos, I see that a whole lot of people thumbed him down. I'm like, you know, why would you thumb something like that down? I mean, number one, the guy ain't being rude to nobody. He's just showing everybody some different ideas for different things, and it's a useful idea. I mean, if you're going to have to peel a whole bag of potatoes, and you can do it in less than 5 minutes, that's a worthy idea as far as I'm concerned. What do you think?
Peeling potatoes? What? Are you talking about more starch for those of us who might be suffering from diabetes?
Oh, well, you know, I guess
they
might...
diabetes?
I guess they might have some anti-diabetes potatoes out there. Some were genetically modified. I don't know. No starch potato. Is there a such thing?
Potatoes I eat. I eat more greens, meat, especially fish.
I'm skinny. I need some meat and potatoes, man, and beans and whatever. I gotta get fat. So anyway, like I said, he's done a whole kind of crazy Russian hacker out there. He's done a whole kind, all kinds of different life hacks. He shows you all kinds of things that you can do with things that you never even really considered. And he even goes into some chemistry too, but he always talked about, you know, don't try this at home, because a lot of the stuff that he does could potentially be harmful, you know. But he does show, and there's science in what he's showing, that, you know, there's a lot of things that you didn't know you could use, you know, he built a rocket out of, I think it was soda pop and, oh, can't even remember what the heck else it was, but these things like shot way up in there. Oh, it was propane and soda pop. So basically he took a 2-liter bottle of soda and, you know, like the, no, maybe it's butane. I don't know. It was either butane or propane. Either way, he shoots one of the two gases inside this soda, flips it upside down, and this thing shoots way up in the air. And I'm like, wow. You know, it's kind of a waste of soda, but some of that soda ain't worth drinking anyway. Oh, man. Anyway, like I said, he's got a lot of stuff like that. And there's other brilliant individuals out there. I keep talking about Ryan Abrams. He's an artist over there. If you look at some of his work when he winds coils, I mean, they just look good. There's just no way around it. It's not just slopped together. And, you know, there's other individuals out there that just do some amazing work. Maybe not necessarily as artistically, but the work has substance in there that is worth paying attention to, you know, anomalies in alternative energy devices and such. You see what I'm saying? So it doesn't necessarily have to be artistic in order to catch my mind. It just has to be something that, you know, somebody thinking outside the box, or somebody, you know, does some really good work that shows you something, an effect in magnetism or whatever. Because, man, that's where the discoveries are hidden, right there in front of your face. What do you think?
I already answered.
Oh, yeah.
I got you on that one.
All right, well, you know, like I said, there's a, if you get out there on YouTube and just start looking up your favorite subject, you're going to find brilliant individuals out there. And also, one of the things that I hadn't said for quite a while is Shaziz Radio. I support all the alternative music folks out there. So if you need a place to have your music heard, keep in mind I don't put nothing on here that's going to be cursing or insulting or, you know, rude or whatever to somebody. So if you got some really good, I don't care whether it's country music or whatever, as long as it's, you know, a good, you know, song that you wrote yourself and did that, I'll play it for you. I'll let the people out there hear your music, you know. If you listen on Auto DJ every once in a while, you'll hear some folks that have been on here since Shaziz Radio started, that their music still plays on here. And so, you know, garage bands, if you got a garage band out there and you want them to be heard, ship me over some MP3s. There's links on this. There's links on YouTube. There's actually a Shaziz Radio YouTube channel out there that you can subscribe to, and all the links for the emails and that. Send the MP3s to ShazizRadio.com or ShazizRadio@Yahoo.com, and I'll upload it so everybody can hear your music. You know, and even if it's just something as simple as you want to read a poem that you wrote out, read it out on an MP3. I'll play it out there for people. You know, I want people to be heard.
That's what this, it's gonna be. You're gonna get so much response. You're gonna have to start another show called the Shaziz Open Mic Night.
Well, hey, if that's what it takes, karaoke night at Shaziz is dumb. But, you know, like I said, there's a lot of people out there. I just want people to be heard. That's what Shaziz Radio is all about. This platform is the people's platform. That's why I want you guys to be able to know if you need to tell somebody something important that you could show up here and jump on. It's easy enough to become a Knight of the Round Table. Just come on with a respectful message to deliver to people. And, you know, as easy as a Skype call. And just to be an honorary knight, you can show up in the chat room and just post pertinent links to help people out. You know? And the Super Chat HTML, you not only get to talk to the people over at ShazizRadio.com, but you also get to talk to the people over at AwakeRadio.com. And if anybody else out there has a network and wants to throw another chat room link up in there, we can do that as well. And as far as other radio networks, if you look around Shaziz Radio Network, the website, you'll find links to other radio networks out there. So we don't care whether you get the information from here or whether you get the information from there. Just as long as people's out there being motivated and trying to help one another and passing good information along, you know, that's the networking I think that you were talking about there, Thomas.
Mm-hmm.
I need a breath, man. Radio silence. Don't everybody jump to the microphone at once. You might chip a tooth.
Hey, ain't nobody else in here. Nobody's even said they wanted to come in, man. Sleep. They're still sleeping.
Yeah, that's
what.
Wake up. They'll use the excuse when they show back up that they were out slaying dragons to protect the kingdom and stuff like that. But in reality, they were sawing logs. You stayed up too late. Oh, I'm sorry. I was out slaying dragons. Huh. Yeah, you got to wipe that sleep out of your eye there, brother. Yep. Anyway, there's a lot of brilliant individuals out there. And Stone Lee posted a link down in there. He said, that's a little song called To Be a Better Man by The Buzz. I'll have to check that out and pop that up there for you guys. But anyway, today's show, I just kind of want to dedicate it to all those individuals out there like that. So if you guys know anybody out there on YouTube, or it doesn't even have to be YouTube, it could be Facebook or whatever, you know, you can throw links up inside this chat room and share with everybody and let those individuals get seen, you know. You know, what's the worst thing that could happen? They get a bunch of subscribers and they really get seen. You know, it's all about networking. There's a lot of brilliant information out there. And if you ever wanted to know how to do something, heck, jump on YouTube. Chances are somebody done a video on it. You know, mechanical-wise, working on cars, yeah, I've used YouTube a bunch of times because, you know, couldn't figure out how to do something and check to see if somebody else had done a video on it. And sure as heck, they had done a video. And so if you want to know how to make something, everything from chemistry to science to just whatever kind of subject you can think of. You know, granted, there are some crazy stuff on YouTube that I don't subscribe to, but it's there. So, I sound like I'm promoting YouTube, man.
Mm-hmm.
Well,
there are other sites out there, too, for hosting videos and having conversations, too. YouTube's not the only one out there.
Yeah, that's another good thing. Somebody could post some links to those there. There was one called ZTV or something like that.
There's Dailymotion, which is a French-ran version, essentially, of YouTube. So there's a couple other ones, too. I don't remember what all I dug up there, but there's a whole list of them. So
one of them, I think, was Blog Talk TV. So basically, people go on there and they blog and talk. But you know, either way, you know, that's information. So pretty much, knowledge is power. You go out there, you want to find out some alternative medicines and stuff like that. You also got to keep in mind that whenever you're out there weeding through this information, that you don't want to just believe everything you hear. You want to, you know. Take it with a grain of salt and research it and check out all the stuff out there, especially if it has anything to do with your health or anything like that. Don't just, you know, I heard it on YouTube, it's real kind of thing. And the same thing applies with mainstream media. If you heard it on mainstream media, I'd be a little more skeptical whether it was real or not. You know, I've heard some crazy stuff come out of the mainstream media deal. But, you know, hey.
That's not biased.
Yeah, I do sound kind of biased, don't I? Well, you know, it's kind of like if after you've been
alive... I say bet it all equally, you know?
Yeah, bet
it
all.
Don't treat anything as better just because of the source that... the type of source it comes from, you know? Whether it's alternative or mainstream or side stream or upstream, whatever, you know?
Yeah, or downstream or...
Yeah, stay out of the downstream.
Yeah. Stay out of the gutter. Yeah, that's this tool that we call the internet. It's an amazing thing. It's basically information just flying around. If you could actually see the digits in real time, it'd be mind-boggling. It'd probably look like that scene from The Matrix, you know, with all the numbers flowing by and stuff like that.
Actually pulses of energy, so, you know.
Yeah.
And you can see it. Get yourself some fiber optic equipment and have a look at it.
Yeah, watch the light.
You have to set up a slow high-speed camera to slow down the speed that it's moving at. But, man, it's interesting some of the stuff they do with that. They can use a clear fiber and send 5, 10, 15 different signals all at once through there because they use different frequencies and they don't bump into each other as they're moving along. They can coexist.
It's brilliant. And I just remembered one when you were talking about different frequencies of light was RimStar.org did a radio transmitter using a laser. He basically hooked a laser up on one side and sent the light pulses out to a receiver on the other side that picked up the light pulses, and you could actually hear the radio on the other side. Mm-hmm. That's pretty doggone cool, man.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's what I'm talking about. There are some really brilliant individuals out there that if people go out there and pay attention, you'd be surprised what you could find out there. And if you could get all these individuals to the table in the same shop at one time, man, you could get something done. There's a lot of folks out there that have manufacturing skills and wonderful craftsmanship that maybe their mechanical skills aren't necessarily real high, but their craftsmanship is amazing. You know, everybody out there's got something to put towards a piece of puzzle there, especially in the alternative energy world. Stone Lee said, information and news is like eating sunflower seeds, chew and spit. He cracks me up, man. I like Stone Lee.
Watch out for those sunflower seeds, though, if you've got cavities.
Yeah.
It seemed to have some chemicals in them that agitate cavities and make them worse. So,
and for safety's sake, don't swallow the seed and shell whole because you'll give birth to a cactus.
Yeah. Man, that sounds like some drop bear nonsense to me. You been talking to cultists lately?
No, but I learned from experience the hard way not to swallow sunflower seeds whole because I thought I was going to be funny one time and ate a whole bag of sunflower seeds, ooh, shells and all. It didn't work out so well. Let's just leave it at that.
Things we didn't need to hear.
I was a lot younger then, man. I wouldn't try that now.
Oh, man.
Anyway.
But you're still trying peeing over the electric fence, right?
Oh, no. I'm no better than that. I'm a mad science guy who plays around with electricity. I'm not even going to remotely try that one. My cousin thought it'd be funny, and he thought he was basically, they told him they'd give him $5 and a case of beer if he'd go do it. And he said, all right. And he did it, boy. He told me he ain't never doing that again. Yeah, I never seen somebody drop so fast in my life. Oh, the stupid things that people do. You can find that out there on YouTube if you want. If you want to see some really dumb individuals to watch some of the crazy stuff that people try.
Oh, man. Fail videos.
Man, yeah.
So.
And some of it just hurts to watch.
Oh, yeah.
You know, guys trying things with skateboards and just about any, it don't matter what it is. It trampolines, you name it. They'll figure out a way to get hurt on it. Do something stupid. I mean, who jumps off of a two-story roof onto a trampoline anyway? That's crazy. The laws of physics is going to kick in, and one of two things going to happen. Either it's going to rip, or you're going to fly where you don't want to fly.
Hmm.
But they do it.
Mm-hmm.
They sure do. But, back on the subject at hand, Russ over there at RWG Research, you should go check out some of his work over there. He does the replications of some of the work out there, Bedini's John Bedini's work and stuff like that. Now, some of the folks out there in the alternative energy world, for some reason, they just get a big head and they just think that they're, you know, all there is to whatever out there. And I don't really like to subscribe to those individuals because I like the little guy, you know, the one that takes finds creative ways to use, recycle, to repurpose stuff, you know. Like, you know, the crazy mad-haired Shaziz character that made a doggone wind turbine out of a 50-gallon plastic barrel, you know, redneck wind turbine. It's got two bicycle wheels on the end of it, you know, and, hey, it worked. You know?
I'll say, did he see that somewhere else? Because I've seen about 15 videos where people cut those barrels up. They cut them in half lengthwise and use them as to build a vault, you know.
Now, this particular...
On the other side's a cup.
This particular design is... I sat around and I was messing around with a soda bottle trying to build, because I built a little 2-liter windmill. There, I got a video out there called 2-liter windmill. And it's got a hard drive disk with magnets to it, and it actually pulses a coil that turns on a light. And it's made out of 2-liter bottle. And so I started trying to have different types of configurations, and I took a 2-liter bottle, and I cut the fins, and I tucked them inwards, and I would lay it out there on the street in the wind to see, you know, what kind of reaction was. And, you know, literally you could get this thing to walk uphill with the wind because of the way that the fins were turned in there. And so I tried different types of configurations, cut the ends off of them, and to see if I could get the wind to go from different directions. That's what inspired me to do the one from the barrel there. But I have seen the ones out there that you talk about where they cut the barrels in half and make like almost like the old pond skimmer type wind turbines. But, you know, it's like this. If you got an idea out there, chances are somebody else already had that idea. They might have that idea exactly the same time you did it, you know. It's just
parallel thinking.
Yeah. So, you know, I don't never say that, you know, it was just my idea specific or anything like that, but, you know, the fact that, you know, you could recognize a piece of junk and then turn around and turn that piece of junk into something useful, that's a pretty good deal. And, you know, it's not something that's really expensive. Around here, you can buy those plastic barrels for about 10 or 15 bucks a piece, you know, 50-gallon drums. And there's probably some places that'll just give them to you, just get rid of them. So, you know, so the barrel guy gets them from somebody. I'm sure he's not buying them. You know, they probably go up to the factories where they sell, like, soap. You know, most of these plastic barrels, there's some that are food grade. There's like a white barrel, a green barrel, and a black barrel. Most generally, the black barrels have like soap or different chemicals in there that you don't want to put food in, that kind
right.
of deal. So if you want a water storage barrel, you'd want like one of the food grade ones, you know, white or green or something like that. You just definitely want to know what was in it before you start trying to store anything that you're going to drink or whatever in there. But hey, they got those big old ones that are in like aluminum cage, the big old plastic boxes, food grade ones that you could store a lot of water in those things. And those things cost you about $75 to $100 around here. But you know, if you're into prepping or you live out in the country or something like that and you need an extra storage deal of water, you know, some places,
there you go.
Yeah, some places you can't legally gather rainwater, which for whatever reason, I have no idea what their whole plan is on that, but maybe they know the rainwater is kind of polluted with some of the crud they spray up in there. I don't know, that's a conspiracy.
I don't think that would stop them from letting people use that, then they wouldn't care.
Yeah. It's
Otherwise, why would they be spraying it up there, you know?
It's going to rain down on you anyway. But either way, there's also, once again, even if they're spraying crud up there, and even if you have to pump the water out of the creek or the crick, depending on whichever slang you use. I got my sister-in-law and them, they always up there, they always saying crick, and I said, nah, it's a creek, it ain't no crick. Anyway, if you're going to pump water out of the creek into your barrel, there's people out there that will show you how to make good filters, activated carbon that you can make yourself and stuff like that. So, and there's also filters that you can make. Actually has a layer of scum on the top there where your water goes down into that has good bacteria that start breaking stuff down, and then it goes through like the natural process of how nature actually filters water until you finally gets down to the bottom, it comes out and it's clean water again. So that's pretty cool, man. You know, if you're going to be doing like hydroponics or something like that, those tanks would be good for that. You know, if you want to have raised fish and food at the same exact time. And then that system there, aquaponics or hydroponics, I can't remember which one. I think it's aquaponics, the one where you grow fish and food at the same time. But either way, you get vegetables or whatever you want to grow up there, and the fish actually fertilize the vegetables growing. And so it's kind of like a symbiotic relationship, if that's the right word, between the fish and the plants and you, that, you know, it's kind of like a natural process. You circulate the water up there, the fish, they eat the food, and then basically, they fertilize. I didn't want to say the other words. But either way, that's a two-for-one kind of deal, and it's all made out of recycled stuff, man. Natural.
A twofer?
Yeah, a twofer. There's a lot of twofers out there. You know, like the old washing machine that you're getting ready to haul off to the dump. You know, before you haul it off, take the goodies out of it, and then haul the rest of the dump that you don't need. So what do you think? So, you know, there's one in there that Holy Walker put over there in the Wake Radio, aquaponics, aquaculture, and hydroponics. So there's a third one in there that I wasn't aware of. But there are some really brilliant individuals out there. Steve out there, he's really good. He could tell you all different kind of things, from what light spectrums the plants need to thrive and stuff. And that's just brilliant, you know. And like I said, if anybody out there has any links to anybody that they've met out there on YouTube that has some talents or skills or whatever, and, you know, just does good work, or even just a really wonderful soul to listen to, you know, sometimes just listening to somebody. I got some folks that I subscribe to just because their voice is soothing and, you know, the subjects they talk about is interesting, you know? So... Mm-hmm. You know, you could just be a wonderful soul out there on YouTube talking about life in general or whatever, you know. There's one guy, and he cracks me up. He got scuba gear, and he goes down all the rivers, like where people go canoeing and stuff. Man, he has a fence that he has collected sunglasses, and he'll put all the bad sunglasses on the fence, and basically he could sell the rest of the good ones, like the oak leaves and stuff like that he finds. But he scuba dives down the river, and he finds everything from cell phones to watches to fishing poles to, you know, whatever people, the canoe falls over and all their junk drops out. He's found gold rings and all kinds of stuff down there. That's all he does on his YouTube channel, is takes people down the river and shows, you know, things that he finds. He even takes metal detectors. He's got a metal detector that works underwater, and he'll go down there and he'll metal detect and find stuff. Looking for old antiques or whatever, you know, artifacts, you know, from the Civil War or something like that. But he's a really cool guy to listen to, man. You know, and watching him, he actually takes you with a GoPro camera that he has connected to his mask or whatever. He'll take you underwater and shows you why he's picking stuff up down there, finding old sunglasses, and heck, he even shows you there's fish underneath there, you know. So it's pretty neat. So there's like a wide variety of things out there that you know, if you're interested in learning and exploring and stuff, there's, you know, people out there that do just exploring videos where they'll go explore old abandoned buildings or something like that. I think that's called the Backyard Explorer is one of those guys that do that. They'll go find old buildings that been set and abandoned for years and take you on a journey through it, you know. Now, I don't know necessarily on the legality of going on some of these buildings, but they do it. But, you know, if you're interested in it, that's out there, I'm pretty sure. Anyway, there's actually a guy out there who will show you about coffee, you know. If you're interested in different types of coffee, he shows you brewing methods and all different types of machines for cooking coffee or, you know, grinding it, whatever, you know. And so he has basically a YouTube channel that is pretty much dedicated to coffee and all different types of coffee. Well, it's out there. But, like I said, a lot of the information out there is free for the taking, you know. If you're needing to know something and you network like you've been talking about, Thomas, you could share all this information with one another. Man, there ain't nothing we can't accomplish. You know, sure, we got the corporate structure that keeps us down and that kind of stuff as far as trying to succeed in life financially. You're pretty much up against the doggone wall anymore. If you want to start a business, then you got to go through a whole bunch of red tape. But if you know enough about the laws and different stuff, you know what the cans and can't do of where you don't have to even deal with the government. And not dealing with the government could be something as simple as not asking for permission to trade potatoes with your neighbor over there. You know, he's got tomatoes, you got potatoes, you want some of his, he wants some of yours, you swap. It's a barter system, you know. And you call up the local sheriff and say, hey, is it legal for me to give my neighbor some potatoes? Then you know what the sheriff's going to do. He's going to look around and see if there's anything that against doing illegal. So he'll come back and say, well, the EPA says, and you'll have to call them up. So then you
blah,
get on
blah, 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 blah.
Yeah. You got on the phone with the doggone EPA, and they're like, oh, no, you get fined for that because you could pass E. coli over to your neighbor, who would in turn pass it over to his neighbor and start a plague or something. Is that crazy?
Yeah.
It's the way the system works. Ask for permission, and most generally they're going to find a reason why you can't do it. And if they do say you can do it, they're going to say you have to pay a fee.
Right.
Well, why do I have to pay a fee to dig a pond on my own property to collect natural rainwater to feed my cattle? You know?
Right.
These guys thrown in jail for digging a pond to feed their cattle on their own property. Because the EPA says, who's the EPA anyway? I'm pretty much sure they're the ones that busted a hole in the mine and dumped a whole bunch of crud down, I think it was Colorado River, turned the river to crud. And you know what they said? Well, it almost fell up my chair whenever I heard it. They said, oh, just wait for the crud to float by and then you can start drinking the water again. That's what they said. Yeah, right. Apparently they don't know about heavy metals and stuff. I mean, after all, it was a mine. Oh, so you can always trust your government, Thomas. My thing is, put your trust in the people out there. You know, be skeptical when you see something on YouTube, but don't close your mind to possibilities and stuff. You know, there's a lot of talent out there, a whole lot of talent, and I'm wanting to shine the spotlight on them today. You know, that kid that made the doggone internal combustion engine, other kids his age are probably out playing doggone video games. This kid's taking a bunch of copper tubing and solder and stuff like that and building an internal combustion engine that works off of propane. It's a one-cylinder little jobber, but boy, you should hear the excitement out of him at the end of this video whenever he actually has it working. He's all, woohoo, it works! You know? And he's built steam engines. He shows you how to, he takes like old propane bottles and he'll clean them out, you know, make sure that whenever he's cutting on them, you're not going to blow yourself up or anything like that. And he'll show you how to build a steam engine out of old propane bottles. You know, and that's the kind of person out there that I think that people, you know, should try to inspire to continue on doing research like that. You know,
right.
If you notice these kids doing this kind of stuff, and you point them out and keep them motivated towards doing that, they're less likely to go out there and try to get themselves in some sort of trouble. You know,
right?
They'll be doing something decent, you know, and learning and teaching. Heck, this kid's taught me a few things, man. You know, I've watched some of his projects, and I'm like, you know, I'm amazed. So, you know, yeah, I think that's MakerJ101 out there on YouTube. Go over there and check this kid out. And even in a non-creative realm, there are individuals out there, young men and women that do YouTube channels that are talking about political stuff. All right, well, not everybody's hip to politics, but, you know, it's the fact that these brilliant kids are already trying to get involved and paying attention to, you know, their elected officials out there in the world and, you know, trying to make a difference. Do they always get it right? No, they're just kids. But the fact that they're actually trying to do it, you know, and they're paying attention and then they're becoming informed, you know,
right.
That's pretty good. I mean, how better can you say it? You know, these kids out there that are, you know, they're not running amok in the neighborhood. They're either creating something in their own mad science laboratory or they're out there paying attention to all the different media sources and pointing out the same things that everybody else is pointing out. I talked about this a while back. I'd like to get a Knights of the Round Table for just the youth, you know, and get them out there. So, you know, if anybody out there is interested in trying to get something like that set up, hey, get with me, because, man, I'd love to give them some airtime. I'd love to hear a bunch of the younger people out there trying to find solutions in the world and pointing out good information to each other, because not only is it going to be beneficial to the world in general, think about, these kids are going to actually be learning while they're doing the show, just like we have, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I've met individuals who are brilliant, who taught me things. I've learned so much during this process of trying to share information with people, you know, and I understand the people that, I know there's a people that if I want to know something about chemistry, I'm going to ask Thomas. If I want to know something about windmills, I'm going to ask Muddy, or, you know, all the other individuals that come on Knights of the Round Table, you know. Hey, looks like Barry Prince is in the neighborhood. My boy, wants to see if he wants to jump up in here. He's another brilliant individual.
Well, he's still down in some coffee, that's what he said.
Yeah, he's trying to wake up. So, I think maybe we just take a music break, because all this talk about coffee make me want to go get me some fresh coffee. Mine's getting cold. What do you think?
And, hey, you're the king.
I'm going to put on my Thomas tunes.
Uh-oh. Oh, no.
Yeah, I got Dr. Steel Back and Forth. I got Cup of Joy. Remember these tunes right here?
Yeah.
Yeah, we're going to put on some Thomas tunes.
Just so long as the time doesn't keep slipping and we miss our return.
Oh, see, you had to say that. Now I'm going to put that one on first. Okay. Slipping, not time. I gotta find this. It's got a little search deal on Sam that'll let me find it. Do 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 do. Aha! I found it. All right, this is time keeps on slipping. I think that's record skipping. All right, everybody, stay tuned. You're listening to the Knights of the Round Table. We'll see if any of the other knights are back from slaying dragons or whatever. Hey, I just found some Just Glue, some gears on it, too. I'll throw that in there.
Oh, no.
All right, stay tuned. You're listening to Knights Roundtable. Peace and love, everybody.
Slipping, slipping, slipping into the future. Time keeps on slipping, slipping, slipping into the future. I wanna fly like an eagle to the sea.
Love a cup. I would. Oh, God, yes. Oh, that is gorgeous. Yeah. I need a cup of the brown stuff, the shade of an acorn, made warm by the same source that I take my cakes from. Using a teapot, a mug, or fine china, been hooked up to IVs, need constant supplies, and the drip for my urges might verge on perverted, perverted brown tea. I'm certain it's worth it. With Sherpas who work hers and use a fresh fountain, I've discerned brews from Peruvian mountains. I've slurped up a cup from an elephant's trunk, with a couple of monks who are utterly stunk. I've had bourbons with sultans and creams with queens, and I've bathed in Earl Grey. I'm really that keen, and missionaries dismiss me for my single epiphany. The difference between him and me is a simple sip of British tea. So when times are hard and life is rough, you can stick the kettle on and find me a cup. Now when I say Earl Grey, you say yes please. Earl Grey,
yes please.
Earl Grey,
yes please.
When I say Assam, you say lovely. Assam,
lovely.
Assam,
lovely.
When I say ooh, you say ah. Ooh, ah. Ooh, ah. Ooh, ah. Ooh, we're gone.
Gorgeous.
Not wrong, yeah. I've been around the world in 80 brews to see the place it takes me to make a brew that tastes like the cream cakes made by angels do. I'm not the same as you, get shaky but aim to swing amazing fluids but don't make it the same. Now using fine leaves picked by pretty maidens in a bag knitted by a seamstress who lives in Copenhagen, brewed up in a pot made of semi-precious metal, let the blessed content settle in my very special kettle. Now when I say ooh, you say long. Ooh,
long.
Ooh,
long.
When I say herbal, you say no thanks. Herbal,
no thanks.
Herbal,
no thanks.
No. No, I want milk in it. Strong though. I want to see that spoon stand up.
If you're tired of tea, then you're tired of blood.
I'm madder than a hatter, it defies my mic. Liken me to Earl Grey, Assam, or ginger. Lapsang, Souchon, raise my pinky finger. Keep your sodding coffee in a proper cup of coffee pot and spot me loving teapot to your Ponzi rotten coffee shop. Coffee clocks nodding off, lost the plot, sodding off. Need some caffeine tannin and a Battenberg to top it off. Cut them off a different cloth, a different lot can take their beer. On 80 cups a day, I haven't slept for 80 years. You could say I'm mad for tea, or just say I'm mad. Oh, you can't stay any longer. Oh, actually, I'm quite glad. All the more Battenberg for me. I can barely pour, my hands have got a bit shaky from caffeine. Oh, I love it though. I'd sell my own grandma for a cup. Well, I'd sell your grandma for a cup.
I read the Gazette to catch up on the news. Some classified adverts I chanced to peruse when I saw a category called steampunk. I turned to it eagerly but left in a funk, for I quite enjoy the steampunk aesthetic, but what I beheld there was rather pathetic. These intrepid online auctioneers have just taken modern objects and stuck on some gears.
It's simply not cricket, it shouldn't be done,
but it's clear how their thoughts had run.
Just glue some gears on it and call it steampunk. That's the trendy fashion nowadays. A copper painted chunk of some 1980s junk will fetch a pretty penny on eBay.
But it got even worse than that, I'm afraid, and as I went on I became more dismayed, for they often didn't modify the things they wanted me to buy.
Heavens to Betsy, I'll end up on regretting.
Steampunk is more than a mere mode of dress or decoration, so it brings me some distress to see a metal cicada described with that name, or a teacup, a mood ring, a silver gilt frame. Gluing on gears at least takes effort. This is slow for the worst.
Just glue some gears on it and call it steampunk. That's the trendy fashion nowadays. A copper painted chunk of some 1980s junk will fetch a pretty penny on eBay.
Steampunk refers to a type of science fiction about alternate past, not future prediction. Often set in Victorian Britain, but the history of technology has been rewritten. So put a bit of thought into your designs. Use leather and brass, 19th century lines. Retrofuturistic is a good explanation. Blend antique reality with imagination. But calling things steampunk to try to sound cool makes you look like a bloody fool.
Just glue some gears on it and call it steampunk. That's the trendy fashion nowadays. A copper painted chunk of some 1980s junk will fetch a pretty penny on eBay.
Gauges and rivets, copper tubing and glass lend a steampunk creation a real touch of class. Gears are appropriate to introduce if they look like they have a legitimate use. Although Nixie tubes are undeniably splendid, they date from long after the ancient steam ended. Pity really, I just love Nixie tubes. Anyway, I hope you've comprehended.
So use the word steampunk correctly, old chap, and don't use it to refer to crap.
Just glue some gears on it and call it steampunk. That's the trendy fashion nowadays. A copper-painted chunk of some 1980s junk will fetch a pretty penny on eBay.
Hey, hey, King Shazam the Turbo. All rise for King Shazam the Turbo and the Knights of the Round Table.
Hello, everybody. We're back. You're listening to the Knights of the Round Table. Off air, Thomas and I was talking about a process where he was making a custom magnet. You want to go through that again, what you was telling me just a second ago? Two-part epoxy resin, was that what you used? And
I used two-part epoxy resin, and I crushed a normal neodymium magnet. I didn't demagnetize or anything like that. Just took a hammer to it and busted up into a powder, which makes it easier to break up because the powder sticks to itself so that it doesn't fly all over the place. And it tries to stick to either the anvil or the hammer that you're pounding on it with, if that's all made out of iron. So you grind it up basically with the hammer by tapping on it until it breaks up into little tiny dust bits. Wearing safety goggles, of course, and gloves. Don't try this without gloves and safety goggles, or otherwise you might end up at the end up in the emergency ward, you know, with a piece stuck in your eye or a sliver or something stuck in your finger or something. Yikes. But you get it all, you get it all powdered up. The most dangerous part of it is the coating. They usually coat that stuff with a real thin layer of really hard chromium-based material, and that stuff will slice you up like the edge of a razor blade.
Yeah.
So you want to be careful with that. You get all that out of there, though. Got just the powder. And you probably want to do this right away, like literally mix the two-part epoxy and mix it into it, because it starts oxidizing almost as soon as you do this. You leave it sit around for a while and it'll ruin it. But you mix it into the two-part epoxy, and then you take that and put it in something that the epoxy won't bond to, or you don't care if it's going to bond to it. And then you set that in a magnetic field and let it harden. It'll basically mirror the magnetic field.
That's brilliant. Because if you had it in the north field, it would duplicate the north field.
Right. If it's just in the north field, then one face is going to be a really strong, south field.
Yeah.
Right. If you do it on the south field, then it's going to one face will be really strong south field. The other side, if there's no additional magnetic field on that side, it's going to be the weaker version of itself. So if you have it on the north face of a magnet, then one side is going to be a really weak, involuted north field. So it created kind of like, the one that I made kind of like an anti-magnetic material on that side. You put it up against something that's iron the wrong way, and it would flip over. It would refuse to lay down on that side.
Well, that's brilliant, man, because I can see a whole lot of potential with that, you know?
Mm-hmm.
You know, something as simple as reducing the cogging effect to enough to cause the next magnet line to skip over, you know?
Potential.
It's definitely...
It forms, if you look at the picture, that if you put that in a super chat so people can look at that, it forms magnets that are basically needles, that one end of the magnet needle is really tightly packed together. The other side is really loosely populated. You know, it's weak. It's literally like if you take and cut a needle, right? You know how one end is pointed, and then you've got the shaft gets thicker and thicker until you hit the center of the shaft. What's happening is it's kind of like cutting that needle off. So you got one side is just a flat end, and it's a full diameter. The other end keeps getting smaller and smaller, tapering away like a porcupine quill.
Yeah.
And it forms on that magnetic field in that taper. So one end is basically a really tiny point of a north field, and then as you go down along the sides of it, the north field is facing out on the sides instead of upward. So it actually is interacting with each other, weakening its effect. There's not much of a north field poking out that end. Instead, you've got a whole bunch of like north-south field facing off that side. If you hold a magnet up, you notice that there's basically a north and there's a south field. And in the middle, you have that kind of bridge where the two come together. And you're creating that facing sideways on the end of those, instead of it being straight up and down like it's supposed to be, so that it gives a good strong north field on that end.
Well, that's brilliant, because you could actually make some custom magnets that way just by wherever you orient the doggone magnetic field.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you had like a maybe a toroid coil or something like that, and you wanted to capture, let's say, maybe the way the structure of the vortex in the center of that doggone thing was, and had that material inside there, and...
That's something I haven't tried. Make two really, really strong ones. The stronger the magnet you're setting it on, the more material versus the amount of epoxy, which you probably want to run it and use really... That was the next step, was to use a really slow-setting epoxy.
Yeah, they got the 1 minute to 5 minute, and...
I got some that's like 60 or 90 minute.
Yeah.
So it's like an hour and a half. But you put that in a centrifuge. Just anything you can spin around really fast and hard for a little while to get all of that material, because it's lighter than the epoxy,
yeah,
to settle down to the bottom and then skim all that excess epoxy off of it, so it's as much magnetic material as you can get packed in there with just a little bit of coating of resin in between each of those particles, to bond them all together, then put that on your magnetic field. And, I mean, who knows, you might be able to build, if you put a cone together or something like that, you could basically make a convex magnetic field without the surface of the magnet having to be a convex.
Well, I just kind of thought of something else, too. With that specific design, what if you took like some acrylic resin or something like an acrylic tubing and wound you a coil inside that acrylic tubing, and then using the centrifuge idea that you were talking about, be able to literally coat that copper tubing or the copper wire coil with those magnetic particles.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'd be really amazed to see how these would react whenever you pulsed it with a with a magnetic field, because they couldn't come loose because they'd be epoxied to it.
Right.
And so, would it strengthen the field? Would it add to it, or what? That, you know, that's definitely research that I don't think it looks like Barry's got his thumb up. He wants in. You want to add him in?
Yeah, hold on.
But, yeah, I think, man, that would be brilliant, because you could make a really cheap, efficient little centrifuge with something like simple as an old coffee can and an electric motor, you know, just something to spin that that tube around while you're letting that stuff set up. And if you have the 60-minute stuff that you were talking about, 60 or 90-minute resin, it, mm-hmm, you know, wouldn't harden up right away. It'd take a while. You sit there and spin that thing away until
finally. Well, there's probably better materials too that you could work with that have a stronger adhesion. You know, like they literally hold those particles still right off the bat as soon as it hardens. Just has to be in a magnetic field the whole time. The stronger the magnetic field, the more, I guess, acutely aligned they get, and the denser the particles, the stronger the magnet ends up being when you're done. And I did this originally just because I was like, I got a bunch of magnets. I got tons and tons of magnets. But, you know, if I want a custom shape, I'm kind of SOL. You can drill and tap and cut this stuff to some degree, but you're kind of limited on what you can and can't do. Because if you go too fast with it, you know, it's a hard substance and it takes a lot of energy, so it heats up. And the faster you go, the hotter it gets until you hit your point where it basically demagnetizes it and ruins the magnetic effect.
Yeah. Man, I can just visualize all kinds of different ideas, like such as maybe making some flat disc with magnetic particles embedded in them, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And then seeing how these two flat discs would interact with a magnetic field, or even far as that goes, face to face with one another.
Right.
Because it's going to scatter the poles around. And there's got to be some sort of reaction to that.
Well, and you can see the bunching effect that everybody seems to think is lines of force.
Yeah.
I don't really think that you have lines of force. I think you do have inconsistencies in a magnet's energy field, but it's just more like, I don't know, like ripples across the surface of a lake when you look at the top of the magnetic field, the further away you get from it. And those will cause materials that are, once they're magnetized, you see how magnets try to bunch together and stick together. This just causes those materials to bunch together.
Well, capturing it in resin is brilliant. I never even contemplated on that. But now that you got my mind turning, I can see all kinds of potential with it. You know, you got 1 minute epoxy resin, you get this dust down in there and spin it up, you know, until it all goes to, you know, lines itself out to the match the field that you're creating. And there's all kinds of potential there.
Right.
Well, why nobody else has done that?
If you just put it in the resin, it's going to align itself north to south, north to south, north to south, to some degree in there as like a bunch. So I don't think you'll get the same magnetic field you would if you, if you put it on a magnetic field where you're actually controlling it like a solid magnet, or put a coil around it and apply a magnetic field as it's hardening.
Well, you could make a centrifuge, you know, out of some sort of plastic plumbing or something like that, and that you could actually build a coil, you know, around that wouldn't actually be connected to the motor, but you could keep the magnetic field stationary, and while that spinning around inside that field, it would be aligning itself to that field. You'd get, it actually could be an artistic kind of thing too, because you could probably get some pretty cool geometric shapes going on in that way that thing would be spinning around trying to align itself.
Right. Well, the other thing is that because that's such an empty field with the resin, those tendrils, if you share that image with people.
Yeah, I posted it in the link there.
Honestly, if you notice, those tendrils are actually creating, looks like he didn't get added in there.
Yeah, it's in the chat room.
Oh, I meant Barry.
Oh.
He said be with us in a minute, so.
He's probably getting another cup of coffee.
So, anyway, you know, you get those tendrils. Those tendrils, not only do they have their own magnetic field, but those magnetic fields, the material itself, is essentially like a siphon. Like imagining tubes running through the air that have a vacuum on one end, pulling magnetic field through it. You know, treat the magnetic field like water. You're looking at basically something that's drawing. If that magnetic field were water, it's drawing it through those tubes and away from the rest of the area, leaving it empty.
Do you still have that piece?
It's somewhere around here. I'll probably find it.
You should get that out and do some tests around some different kind of coils and stuff and see how it reacts.
Well, it's a really small piece. It was just a quick test. It's not even as big around as like a dime. So
it'd still be interesting to see how it acts in the field, because it might get up there and spin around or do something crazy. Hey, it's,
well, I have some video where I was trying to put it upside down on a piece of, you know, like a block of steel.
Yeah.
It's just basically like an anvil. I used some other pieces of iron near it to show that the iron in the anvil didn't have any magnetic property to it. It was just a piece of iron. And when you put it on upside down, it literally flips over to stick on the side that was on the magnetic field itself.
Wow.
When it was hard, it won't stay the other way. So, like sitting flat and level with the ground. Tipping it up on its side, it'll literally roll uphill away from the gravitational pull.
Yeah.
Because such a shorter distance to get to that flat surface again, instead of going the other direction. So, in fact, there's a point where you can see I'm trying to push it back down and force it to stay the upside down, and it's pushing against what I'm pushing on it with, pushing down. With it sitting, the magnet or the anvil sitting sideways, pushing down on it toward the ground, and it's pushing up against the item that I'm pushing down with. And as soon as I stop pushing, it rolls right back over.
You got a link to that video?
Let me look and see if I can find it. I think I showed a little bit of the process too, like hammering on it lightly to turn it into dust and all that.
I wonder if you could use something like a vise to crush it.
I'm sure you could. You could probably use a tube too with a rod on either side.
Yeah, that'd probably be safer.
Right, and crush it inside of the tube.
Yeah. And those neodymium hard drive magnets would probably be brilliant for that because, you know, if those things slap together, they'll break easy.
Yeah. That's actually what I used. So I had some pieces that had already broken. I just crushed them up the rest of the way.
Cool.
And once you get it busted, it's not that hard either to get a hold of that chrome that's on it with like a pair of pliers or something and peel it off and get rid of most of it right away.
Yeah.
And then you can finish crushing it all up.
All right, so there's another brilliant idea out there, man. I'd like to see how far we could take that deal. That's pretty cool. Anyway, Stone Lee's posting some comments in there. Magnetic clothing like Wile E. Coyote, just stay out of the kitchen. You don't want no hot pans flying at you. I'm assuming that's what he's talking about. And magnets are used for health too, pain relief, and curing things. There is a lot of research out there in using magnetic fields for just such that, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, everything's worth taking a look at. Even if you seem sort of skeptical about it, you know, it sounds too good to be true, I wouldn't overlook it because you might liable to find something that, like I keep saying all the time when it comes to alternative energy devices out there. You know, somebody, for some reason, saw some anomaly that made them believe that they could really create an alternative energy, a free energy device, or even perpetual motion for that matter. So they took the time to make a video about it. And while maybe the device doesn't work exactly like they hoped or thought it would, that one effect or anomaly that I call it is what interests me. Those are the things that, like this process that you just talked about, crushing up the magnets and putting it in resin inside of a magnetic field. You could train your magnet to do whichever direction you want. You know,
right.
Those anomalies right there are valuable nuggets of information that people should pay attention to, you know. So I even look at the hoaxers out there as far as how they fake doggone alternative energy devices. There are some guys out there, you know, that put batteries and stuff, but even in their part where they're trying to be disingenuous or disinfo or whatever you want to call it, there's some brilliance in there because if you look at the doggone thing, it looks like it works. You know, it sounds plausible.
Well, if you look at this is the thing that I keep stressing about people posting videos and whatnot and information. Don't just post your successes, man. Let us see where you went wrong too.
Yeah.
Because there may be some information hidden in that we could use, or you know, there are people that are like, hey, what if I did this or what if I did that? They can look at your video and skip past doing something that would be a mistake to help them kind of, you know, target in on the solution that they're looking for.
Yeah.
I mean, the more information there is on failures, the less you know, time that an individual that's working on an experiment or trying to you know, to do something, the less time they're going to waste doing things that aren't going to work.
I like that concept. You know, the part where they blew something up, you know, not to do that. It'll save yourself
even
some
if you're
time.
Just trying for an effect, you know.
Yeah.
You know, post it with, I put this together with this, or I did this with that, you know, and I got this effect, or I got that effect, or didn't get this effect, or didn't get that effect, and that way, you know, people can search by all that criteria to find your video and go, oh, okay, instead of, you know, taking the time to do it myself, I can sit here and skim through this and see what happened, and oh, okay, well, that didn't do what I'm wanting mine to do, so I know not to use that method. And you're going to get some people who are going to be like, oh, you got that effect out of it? That's exactly what I've been trying to do, though, you know? And then they can, you know, tinker around with your idea that you considered a failure and turn it into a useful process for them, you know?
Yeah, and some of the neatest anomalies that I found out with were due to failures, you know. Something failed, but there was something that happened that caused it to fail that was another reaction or something like that. So, yeah, I 100% agree with you on that. That's a definite.
Tons of, you know, I guess, discoveries that we've come across, too, throughout history that are from, you know, mistakes while they were trying to do something different.
Yeah, so. Like that... this video I was watching, the guy's recycling an old microwave. I never knew that these little carousel motors had any power potential to them at all, because for one, they're geared and they're really hard to turn by hand. You know, you got to put something on there to turn it pretty much. But I was watching him with this deal, and he spins this thing around and shocks the crud out of himself. And and he's all jumping and making a scene about it, that how he did that thing just shocked the crud out of him. And I'm like, no way, there ain't no way that that doggone little bitty motor did that. And so, you know, I had to test it out myself. I got me a microwave motor, I put a pair of vice grips on the deal, held onto the wires with two fingers, and spun that puppy around and lit myself up, man.
You didn't get your brother Jeb to try that out?
I should have. But
whoever it was that took that payment to go do the leak over the
yeah that's my cousin.
Try it out.
That's my cousin. I don't think he's been the same since. He's not a gambling man, let's just say. Anyway, you know, it's just all these effects out there, the anomalies that you come across during your research. Those are another little nuggets of information that can advance somebody else's research. So, yeah, put the failures in there as well as the good ones. And that's another. I have seen some videos out there where people have put failures on there, but people will come by and they'll thumb them down. You know, oh, you know, so what? You failed, you know. But they totally missed the whole point of the video.
Right.
You know? And some individuals will read the doggone... they won't even read the description. They'll read just the title, and bam, thumb you down and run off. They never even watch the doggone video, or get partial way through when you're trying to show something, hear what they want to hear, and then cuss you out and take off running. You know, instead of listening to the end to hear the whole story, what it is you're trying to convey to them, you know...
Right.
So there are a lot of knuckleheads in the world, but there are just as many, if I would even venture to say more, brilliant individuals out there that if you pay attention to what they're doing, you could actually learn something. And, you know, it inspires me to see kids like that Maker J101 there that is sitting there building an internal combustion engine. You know, is he inventing something? No, but he's taking in junk and putting together and building a working internal combustion engine. You know, I see this kid going a long ways. You know, as long as people don't discourage him from his research and encourage him towards, you know, doing it right, you know, keep on going, no matter what people try to discourage him from, this kid, I see him going a long ways, you know. He's brilliant. So, you know, that's what I want to show. I want to point those kind of things out, because, like I said, we have to talk every once in a while about negativity because of things going on in the world. But the whole world isn't negative. There are good things out there in this world that are worthwhile, you know.
Right.
So that's pretty much where I stand on that episode. I'm sitting here trying to scroll up, and I'm going past the same. How's that happen? Anyway. So, you know, what other kinds of things you got going on there, Thomas? Any new projects in the works?
No, not right now.
Well, I got a bunch of different ideas from different shows that we've done. I want to do a fiber optics lighting system to show people that you can pipe light around the corner. I've been wanting to do that for quite some time. You know, it's, you know, basically water is a good refractor of light, and so there's no reason why you can't run this thing in zigs and zags. They do it with fiber optics all the time.
Actually, there's a little gig online about using water to turn a bottle basically into, what was it, a light source by letting the sun shine in?
Yeah.
So, using it to let sunlight shine in?
Yeah, that's what Steve pointed out, that they were doing like over places like the Philippines and stuff like that, where they'd take a 2-liter bottle, fill it with bleach water, cut a hole in the roof and seal around it, and allow the light to shine in. And he said, you know, I seen a couple of videos, they get the equivalence of like a 60-watt light bulb in a in a house that doesn't have any windows in it, and so they got perfect lighting in there for free during the daytime. And then, you know, with a few little cheapo solar panels and some batteries or something like that, you could have LED lighting during the nighttime. So where there is a will, there's a way, and you can do it environmentally safe. I mean, as long as that water, bleach water, is in the jug, it ain't hurting nothing, you know.
Right. Well, the other thing, too, is I don't think the bleach water is, it's not necessary to make it with bleach water for, like, the optics or anything like that. I think it's just, that's to keep stuff from growing in there and ruining your clarity in the water.
If yeah.
It's murky, it's not going to work. So
keep algae.
You can find something else. Yeah, if you get something else in there, you could probably get the same effect without having to use bleach.
I'd see them do it with clear mineral oil.
Right.
And so, you know, there's all kinds of different clear liquids like that that would work.
Right. Well, and there's other stuff you can mix with water to keep stuff from growing in it that aren't quite as dangerous as bleach. So you can cut that completely out and use something else, you know.
Yeah.
I imagine enough salt in there, it'll keep things from growing in there. That's a safe way to put the bleach in there, since there's chlorine in the salt. But it's locked up with the sodium, so you don't have to worry about hurting anybody.
Yeah. That sounds like a good deal. And you could actually kind of, maybe if you did it right, you could probably get that kind of like soft light look out of it.
Yeah.
You know, it's still refract through the salt crystals, but, you know, it kind of dim the light down just to a softer light.
Right.
See how much brilliance you can come up with just slinging ideas out there?
Mm-hmm.
You know, this is what it's all about, folks, out here at ShazizRadio.com and Awake Radio and No Borders, People to People, Scottish Sovereigns, and all the different other networks out there, websites, social networks, where they're sharing ideas together. You know, that's what it's all about. You know, there's so many ways that we could actually help each other out. And there's so many ways that we've already helped each other out, you know, giving each other platforms to talk on and getting together and doing radio shows together and giving people ideas that they can take out there and run with, you know, make their life better, you know. The lighting system that Thomas just mentioned, that Steve had mentioned before, and I've actually seen the videos on, it works. So during the daytime, you could have a lighting source that doesn't use any electricity, you know. You know, if in the middle of your house, you have to use lights because the sun ain't shining through a window or something like that, or even the basement of your house. You know, and if the fiber optics things work like I'm talking about, heck, you could pipe it down into your basement. You know,
right, right, yeah, a clear tube full of water would work.
Yeah,
that's something I was talking about for instead of using a fluorescent bulb to light up. Plants that are growing like in one of those spinning, it's like a Ferris wheel type thing for plants. It doesn't let them turn upside right though. The whole point is to force it to go against the gravitational pull, and you do it slowly over a period of time, so it actually speeds up how quickly the plant grows. So, like, we were talking like between 6 and 7 times faster. So.
Well, brilliant. See? Learn a little bit about nature. Nature will teach you some tricks, man.
Mm-hmm.
And as far as, you know, alternative energy uses, there are so many different good ideas out there. It's just, it's like a buffet of ideas. And, man, I like to learn, you know. I learn things from kids that, you know, most kids are out playing video games. They could tell you every tip and trick to every video game and all the special moves and stuff, but can they build an internal combustion engine?
Right.
You know, that's the key. And those are going to be the future of this world. Those people like those kids like that, those are going to be the future geniuses of the world. You know, there might be one right now somewhere out there that has got some really good ideas that needs to come to the front. So if you find a link like that, just post it over here at ShazizRadio.com or Awake Radio or Scotty Sovereign's website or whatever. Heck, that information kind of likes to funnel around to everybody, so it'll get out there, you know.
Right.
And using the social media networks out there for to your advantage, sharing ideas with people, and they share it with their people, there's your networking right there.
Yep.
You know. And then, you know, you also got a factory and you want to get some things done. So if you find a project and you just can't seem to find anybody who can get things done, get these groups together, man. Raymond came all the way down from Texas down here to visit me. He stayed down here for a little bit and we did some research and stuff. And you know, there's something good came out of it.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, a friend visited me all the way from Australia, you know. There's all kinds of, you know, things that, you know, opportunities that you're going to have out there if you actually take advantage of them when the chance is there, you know what I mean?
Right. Take advantage of opportunities, not people.
Yeah, that's the key right there. You know, if you're going to help somebody out, you know, help them out. Don't help them out with an agenda, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, with a boot.
Yeah. So, anyway, somebody said my sound was breaking up. Must be on that side over there because Sam's doing fine. All right, so where do we go to from here? Did Barry ever show back up?
I don't think so. He's been out of the group here where we're talking in, so he should be able to just join the call and make a call to call us.
Barry, you got your microphone on? Oh, man. Anyway, I guess we could take another music break if you like.
Sure.
And see what's going on there. All right, I'm going to throw on this song right here because it's already close. Everybody listening to Knights of the Round Table, stay tuned. Peace and love.
Can you read? trouble all my day. I bid farewell to old Kentucky, the place where I was born and raised, the place where he was born and raised. No pleasure here on earth I found. For in this world I'm bound to ramble. I have no friends to help me now. He has no friends to help him now. Perhaps I'll die upon this train.
Perhaps he'll die upon this train.
You can bury me in Sunbeam Valley. For many years where I may lay. Sleeping in my grave,
while he is sleeping in his grave.
Maybe your friends think I'm just a stranger. My face you never will see no more. But there is one promise that
Tabor.
Hello, everybody. You're listening to the Knights of the Round Table. We've been joined by our Honorable Knight Barry Prince, and we had a really passionate talk about hemp over the break there. And he's like, wow, he thought he was on air, but a lot of brilliant information. But hey, that's the way it works. When we're on the Knights of the Round Table, we go off break and play some music for you or something like that. Some of our best conversations are off air, and you know, a lot of brilliant things that, because there's so much information to share with everybody, you know. Barry had said so himself that, you know, when he sits back and listens to us talk, sometimes it gets his mind spinning because he's just like overwhelmed with a lot of different ideas and information. And it just kind of opens up that gateway of the mind and show you that there's other possibilities out there in this world, you know. And that's what we hope to accomplish here, you know. Get people to be free thinkers, outside the box, away from the government influence, and to, we were talking off the break there, and I said something right there at the end there before you found out we weren't on air. I said that one of the benefits of sharing all these ideas with each other is to show people that there are other options out there. Oh, don't ask the government for permission to trade potatoes with your neighbor that has tomatoes, you know. Just do it, you know. You don't get into red tape that way. What do you guys think? Don't everybody jump to the mic and
say, hey, yeah. Can't talk if you're busy, you know, yapping at us about saying anything.
Tom, sir.
No, but seriously, I mean, you know, taxes.
We're going to take numbers here, guys.
They're blood for the beast, man. Stop feeding the beast, you know. You're worried about getting into trouble? Get yourself a lawyer that knows the laws so you can write yourself out of all those and then, you know, just claim exemption. Only give them what you absolutely have to if they come for it. Yeah.
Yeah, they
don't,
say
don't
the tech.
They're not due.
Hey,
you know?
Listen, I got to check one thing in here, guys. I would like you to check. You guys are both down in America. I take it you're in America, right?
Yeah.
And Tom, and I know Shaziz is down in the States. Mm-hmm. Now, this was brought to my attention twice, and I want to find out if it's absolutely true, but there is a clause in the American tax system where a taxpayer can opt out of paying taxes to their, having their taxes deducted off their paychecks to make I've been told twice, I want to find out if it's true, because if it's true, here's a mechanism that we could really, the United States of America, could strike back at what we see going on. Simply by, if you have the option, in Canada we have that option, you can actually fill out a form, hand it into Canada Taxation, and you can opt out of having your taxes deducted at source from your employer and then given to the government. You can be responsible for those taxes. You have to fill out your return at the end of the year, blah, blah, blah. Claim what you made. Here's what you got to pay, blah, blah, blah. But the beauty of it is if you can keep those taxes away from the government on that daily, weekly influx of amounts of money coming to them from all over the country from people's source, you could actually starve the government into almost into submission. You could shut the government down. If we want to attack the source, here's a way to do it. Because the thing about deducting at source, that money automatically goes to the government. You fill out your return at the end of the year, and you get back what you're supposed to get from the government, what they allow you to get back. But if you're taking yourself, you could take that money. Listen, you could take that money and reinvest it. And by reinvesting in things, you could immediately start a home-based business. You can show a loss in that at home-based business for the first 2 years, and the government will not question it. So in other words, you can take money that you would be paying in taxes, you can invest it in your home-based business, put it on a paper, make sure it's presented to the government where your investment in the business, you take that money and you don't tax money at the end of the year. I know in Canada we can do that because I don't pay at source. I do my tax about every year, right away. I make sure that I take every advantage of everything I can to keep as much pennies away from the government. But if you can do that in the United States of America, imagine the implications that would have. All of a sudden, everybody could take that money. I'm not sure. You know, there's going to be negatives. There's going to be people that will take that money and spend it, and they're not going to have it at the end of the year, and that's going to create problems. But in the same mouthful, I believe it's in your tax structure. So I'd like you guys to look into that for me and let me know for sure if it's true, because, boy, what a way to take a kick at the government, wouldn't you say? Just a thought.
Well, I've already said that numerous times. It's called claiming exempt. It just basically means you're taking responsibility for making sure the government gets their just due. And the business thing is one thing. I mean, if you have medical expenses, those can be written off. There's all kinds of things. And it's not that hard just to get
rid
of. Right, you can get, there's books out there like, you know, an idiot's guide to, tax exemptions and stuff like that that you can get your hands on that will tell you about all this stuff. I mean, if it's a necessary issue, like you get a leg broken in an accident or something like that, 100% write-off. 100% write-off.
Yep.
$5,000 to go see the doctor, well, give the money to the doctor. Don't give it to Uncle Sam, you know?
Yeah, but I don't suggest falling down the stairs to save money.
No, I'm just saying, though, there's a whole list of these things that things happen throughout the year that are beyond your control that you can flip them around from being a negative to being a positive, too.
Yeah, most people don't understand that there are a lot like that.
Well, I was going to say, like he was saying, if you start in a home business, buying a computer for your home business is a tax write-off.
It's a write-off.
You know, exactly. Now you have a computer.
Don't get that taxes all of a sudden.
Right. You're using a room in your house for your business. You can write your rent off if you're renting. You know, if you're paying a mortgage, you can write that off.
20 20% off on a room, just if you classify that room as your base for your home based business. Period. Mm-hmm. Almost up to 20% in Canada. I think it's 17% we can write off just by having a room. And I, of course, have a home based business with my jacket, and I write that off. There's so many avenues. You know, we see the government pushing at us in so many different directions. All people have to do it. People are getting really heat about it. Just look at the alternatives, the way we can fight back against these guys. But do it legally. And it's there in front of our faces, guys. This is one of the things we're talking about.
And the thing is, the chances that they're going to come and ask you for that money, you have a better chance of getting struck by lightning or winning the lottery without buying a ticket, you know?
Yeah, right. Exactly.
So, I mean,
and what the heck, you know,
really
the government's only in...
Well, the important thing to point out about this is that they use fear to gain obedience. That's why the stipulations, you look at any law, the more violent, the more destructive the consequences for breaking a law are, the more direct in proportion it is, the harder it is for them to catch you. That's why they make it so dangerous to break the law with copyright, because it's so... you know, just almost impossible to be caught doing copywriting, you know, or breaking copyright law by downloading MP3s or anything like that. So the one or two people that somebody in their family rats them out and gets them into trouble, and they actually have the resources to go down there and shake those people down, they have to turn them into an example to scare everybody else into not breaking the law.
Man.
You know? So you don't pay your taxes, you end up with like $1 million worth of penalties, you go to prison for the rest of your life, they steal everything you own and sell it all off for pennies on the dollar. That's because
it's totally
out of millions of people who are doing it, they can only find five. You know? And if those millions of people stop paying, they're not going to have the funds to go after even those five anymore. They just won't be able to do it. They'll have to start making laws that are, you know, make things illegal, null and void, because they just can't afford to enforce them anymore.
At this point in the game, they're almost making it impossible to pay because they're sending all the jobs overseas, or, you know, companies shutting down because they just can't afford to pay.
Yes, there's the solution for the economy. We need to stop thinking about here in America buying American as being the solution. That ain't the way to do it. We have to start selling American. Right now, the way our economy works, we're buying American goods to save the economy, and then we're turning around and selling off America to other countries in order to fluff up our GDP. We get things imported from another country that cost pennies to make, and we pay them hundreds of dollars, and then they turn around and spend those hundreds of dollars to buy hundreds of dollars of raw iron, you know, raw copper.
Exactly.
Oil, anything they can get their hands on to turn into trinkets, you know. There's a little example here. What happened with Manhattan Island? Okay, some people showed up. Some other people were already hanging out and living there. And they said, "Hey, we got some shinies. You want to trade for this land?" And they went for it. And look where we're at now.
Yeah.
Well, the Chinese are doing the same thing to the people who now are the descendants of the people who offered the shinies for this land. They're having the same thing done to them. It's like, you used that trick to get here. are you honestly that stupid you're going to let somebody else use that trick to take it away from you too? And then we're going to be in even a worse situation than we were
America, before? Right now, there isn't a country in the world that America stands with a trade benefit right now. We're in deficits with every country that we trade with. $400 billion in Japan.
They're doing tricks, though. Financial tricks to make it look like we are. And it's just a trick. It's an illusion, man. It's all smoke and mirrors.
It's an illusion.
Pull the curtain back and look
because if you look at the figures, if you look at the real figures, you will just see how bad a shape America is in right now. It is beyond what the common person wants down the street. If they really knew, yeah, but Tom could really grasp what is going on. And of course, they never will because everything they come across on the prostitute media is what the government wants you to believe in. And so we can get that changed so that we can awake the people to what is exactly going on. If everybody knew, I swear, if everybody in America knew just how much trouble they were in right now, you would see a rise in the people that would either you would have a peaceful or armed. I don't think there's no in between. The system right now is absolutely.
And don't you know that you're not supposed to pay attention to the man behind the curtain? And as far as the government, you're supposed to know your place and shut your face.
Yeah. Exactly.
That sums it all up, man.
Jesus is, I can't shut my face. They're gonna come and get me.
Yeah, they're going.
I know when they come to get people. I know that us guys will be on the top of the list because we can't shut up.
Maybe we'll all get lucky and be in the same FEMA camp together. We can devise a way out with our genius. It'd be like the movie Chicken Run.
You understand? The more ingenious you are, and they see that, the less you're going to have when you're in that FEMA camp.
Yeah.
You'd be lucky if you got underwear on when you get in there.
Yeah,
oh, we had to take all that stuff because he might hurt himself with it.
Don't give that guy any pencils because it's got carbon in it. Oh, man. Hey, I could turn a pencil and a mobile pipe into a...
It's pretty sad.
A blowgun to shoot the doggone guard in the neck with a pencil.
God.
It might not kill him, but it might hurt like that.
Hurting people, man. Doesn't matter whether they're hurting you or not. You're not allowed to talk about hurting them.
You're calling right now.
All right, no pencils to the neck.
Did you say good morning to those guys when you started the show today?
No, I'm saying good morning to them now.
I usually start my show sometimes by saying good morning to this.
To the
NSA and the CIA and, yeah.
Yeah, to all you guys out there in the alphabet agencies.
Good morning.
Hope you're enjoying the Knights of the Round Table. You're welcome to call in if you like. We'd sure love to have a conversation with you. I would, too. Do you think the FBI dude called up? I'd talk to him. CIA?
Luke,
don't matter.
Hey, Barack. Barack, you're up there. We have a few questions for you.
Yeah. Why don't you just dial it up there, man? You think I wouldn't have to ask him some questions? First question I'd ask is, why are you destroying the nation? You know? And what was that all about whenever you was telling old Putin back before the election that you would have more flexibility after the election? What was that all about? You know what I'm saying? Did you ever hear that conversation? Caught on microphone?
Yeah.
So... maybe these guys are like the all-star wrestling guys. Maybe these guys are like the Congress and the Senators, where they fight in public, you know, for the show, and then they go out and have coffee and drinks together, you know,
yeah,
at their favorite restaurant, buddy-buddy. Sure, we sure played them people like a banjo today in Congress, didn't we?
I think the phrase there is wink, wink, nudge, nudge, say no more.
Yeah.
You know?
A nod and a wink and a secret handshake and man deals are passed all over this planet. So, that's what you got going on.
Like I said, there's a three-stage system that could solve most of the problems that we have. One is to get enough people that are all of a like mind into office. That means they're going to have to secretly go under in covert operation and become Republicans and Democrats so they can all get elected. But once they're in, and they know they're all part of that same secret organization of the transparency organization, they just unanimously vote a bunch of laws in, like we have to have cameras and microphones on every politician, and the whole world has to be able to see what we're doing every day. The higher up the food chain you are, the less privacy you get, because you are a public official. Public means no privacy. Oh, you're a private citizen, and we're going to invade your privacy? No, sorry, privacy is for private citizens. Yeah. You know? And well, the next step is, hey, no more Federal Reserve. No more Federal Reserve. It's got to go, you know?
The problem with the whole scenario that I see is to find those individuals who are willing to throw themselves over the fence so everybody else can climb over. You know, we threw ourselves over the fence many times because we already know we're probably on a list.
Right.
Yeah, we don't know what the list is about, but we know we're on a list somewhere. That these are the top of the crazies of all crazies. These are the ones that's always talking about, you know, we're not anti-government, we're anti-corruption, you know, but...
Right. I'll say, you don't use my name. Don't start throwing my name around. I don't want assassinated, okay? They already know my stance. We need people that nobody knows what their stance is.
Yeah.
You know?
So, you know, that's finding that them crazy individuals willing to throw themselves on the fence so everybody else can climb over.
Yeah.
Oh,
well, that's just it, though. We're not talking about throwing people on the fence so others can climb over. We're talking about people that are willing to put themselves in a position where they're allowed to get on top of the fence, and then once they're up there, they reach down and grab everybody else and start chucking them over.
Yeah.
You know?
Reach
I've
over.
Been in that situation coming up out of a tunnel system that we were in. I pop out. A car drives by, and we notice it's a cop car. It's like 4 o'clock in the morning. I'm standing there in the middle of the street with a hand down there grabbing people and just flinging them out onto the pavement. So, you know, you gotta love it, because the guy sat there at the stoplight and watched through 3 red lights, then decided after seeing 40, 50, you know, club-clad... dark-colored clothed kids popping up out of the ground like that, not to even bother. They just went ahead and slowly drove away.
Oh, that would... I seen that just like a movie, man. That'd make a brilliant movie.
Oh, that's what I'm saying. I'm sure it looked like a scene out of Gremlins, man.
The sewer people are invading. That's cool. But see, you know, that's the thing, man. There's some really... there's some inspiring stories out there if you're willing to take the time to listen. You know, I posted all those links in the video there today because I wanted to spotlight some folks that probably otherwise might not have got any attention for their talents. I mean, there's a lot of brilliance going on there. And, you know, these are the folks that you need to bring to the table. If you want to get things accomplished, you know, I would have never known about hemp if it hadn't been for you telling me about all the different things on there, you know. And as far as I was talking to Barry there, but I wouldn't known it unless Barry ever brought it up to me about all the different uses. And apparently, there's like 50,000 different industrial uses for hemp that you know is only banned because it's
seriously
closely related to marijuana.
Yeah, since you're talking about that, seriously, this needs to be addressed. Don't use the fact that marijuana is illegal where you're at as an excuse to do nothing. There are alternatives you can use right now. Just because it won't do everything that hemp will do, kudzu can do quite a few things that basically hemp is capable of doing, and it's growing on the side of the road anywhere where it's too warm for it to kill it off during the winter. It's a plague on the area, because there's nothing eating it fast enough to keep it from basically destroying houses, telephone poles, tearing down and killing trees. And, you know, you can actually make alcohol out of it. You can actually ferment it and make alcohol. And if you can get to the alcohol stage of ethyl alcohol, you can make all of the things you're talking about. You can make crude oil out of that, which means that you can make every plastic they make with crude oil they pump out of the ground and have none of the toxic metals in it. The trace elements that are stuck in that crude oil that pull up out of the ground, it's pure. So you create a complete cyclic system where if you're using it as fuel, the alcohol or the carbon goes into the air, gets sucked up by the plants, goes into your gas tank, goes up back into the air, back into the plants, back into your gas tank. You have a net neutral carbon footprint.
Sounds like a pretty good system to me, Tom.
Right. And a lot of the processes for that are... cascading process is like a nuclear bomb going off where it just can't stop because there's nothing to stop it. It keeps going. Except that you're working with just, you know, chemicals in a tank.
Well, see,
you don't have to just put more chemicals in to keep the process going. You don't have to add more energy to it. You just have to add more feedstock to keep the whole process going. You just keep pouring the alcohol in there, and it keeps just running until it's all gone.
There's another aspect to brilliance in what you're talking about, because there's an actual website out there called eattheweeds.com. You guys ever check that out? It's like,
I haven't seen that, but I do have...
Well, it talks about foraging.
Edible plants of North America here somewhere.
Well, eattheweeds.com, and now you're talking about other weeds out there that you might not want to eat, but you could use them for fuel and material to build stuff with.
You can actually eat kudzu, too. I don't know what part of it you can eat, but they do cook it and eat it. So I mean, there's a whole plethora of plants out there, though, that can be used for these other things. You're talking about the fiber from the hemp, right? Fiber is what makes plants stand upright instead of just drooping over and turning into a gelatinous blob. Well, we have grass. It stands up. We have mini bamboo, all kinds of stuff like that, that if you let it get out of hand, it will spread like a plague all over the property. Why not strip that down and use the fibers in that, you know? Why not use the fibers in bamboo to make paper?
One thing people have to understand, Tom, that the American government will allow any kind of hemp product as long as it's below 0.05 content of THC. So in other words, there's companies now, and I have a couple of their pamphlets here.
Hold on. So they're more restrictive on the amount of THC it can have than they are on the THC that's lettuce. Because there's more THC than that in a head of lettuce.
There's more THC, you're absolutely correct, and people don't know that, but you're absolutely correct. There's more THC in a head of lettuce than what the government would allow now is what they call safe guidelines for amount of THC in a product. So there's people now, there's companies that are popping up left, right, and center that are taking the seeds of the sativa and the indica plant and producing oils out of the seeds. And I'm telling you, some of the reports I'm reading are absolutely amazing. That the medical aspect of hemp is only one of the thousands of aspects. What I really focus on, what I would really kind of blows my mind, here's a thought for you guys. If we all of a sudden stopped cutting down trees and build houses out of 2x4s, conventional building techniques, and changed it all with 2x4s and 2x6s and panels built from hempcrete, you would, in a generation, eliminate the need for fire departments. You would save thousands and thousands and thousands of lives every year because houses built with hempcrete will not burn. And think of that for our planet. Now, all of a sudden, create a huge industry. We eliminate cutting down trees. We build the factories to build the 2x4s and the 2x6s out of hempcrete. We start covering the farmers' fields that are going broke with raw industrial hemp. That hemp grows on that field for 2 years. Then the farmer turns around and puts a conventional crop into that field, and his mind is absolutely blown away at what he can produce out of a field of natural soy.
Tons of nitrogen. The only plant that seems to put out as much nitrogen is corn. And corn is horrible.
Exactly.
You know, corn is actually found to be the closest genetic match to the human genome that you can find out there. So you're essentially eating a human version of a plant. A plant version of a human.
Wow, that's weird.
You're
spot, I'm still stuck on the lettuce.
Yeah, no.
I never knew there was THC in the lettuce.
Yeah, any green plant has a percentage of THC in it. In fact, some of the strongest cannabinoids that have been found from plants that were basically subjected to violent and dangerous environments, like growing them in, you know, decayed human bodies during a war function. The toxins and the waste and everything that come out of those rotting human forms would kill most plants. And those marijuana plants that are grown there, giving off the most THC, there's every potential indicator there that THC is probably the plant's antibody. You know, it's the equivalent of a plant antibody.
Wow.
Well, organisms have antibodies.
Dr. Allen brought that to my attention. You know, the human body got cannabinoids. We have cannabinoid receptors built in our body when we're born. The human body is meant to receive eat the cannabinoid. That's why it's in our vegetables and stuff. It was put there for a reason. It's one of the most important things that human can put into your body, because I don't understand the endocannabinoid system in the body. Dr. David Bruce Allen, this gentleman I talk to all the time about the endocannabinoid system, been studying it for 15 years, and he still can't put his finger on it. He says, Barry, you don't have to understand it. All you have to know is that it works. And it does. When we put cannabinoids in our body responds. It opens up receptors to our brain. It makes sure your thinking and everything about the human body changes when you add it to your body, especially when you put the CBDs and the CBLs in there. It's just absolutely sounds, I see, doing to the human body. That's just the medical aspect, Tom. That's one of the biggest aspects. But you know what? If I put it on a scale on hemp, I don't like calling hemp, I don't like calling marijuana marijuana anymore either. That's a word that was put on this plant by the power of the elite to demonize it, to give it a name that sounded like something bad. And when you think about it, it was never called marijuana prior to the induction of oil and black and the total destruction. And
well, there's a lot worse names than that you can call it.
Let's just call it hemp though.
Wacky tobacco, man. That's what they called it.
I was going to say, there is a difference, though, too, between hemp and cannabis.
Is people going to start shoving lettuce in their bong? Did I lose you guys? What the heck happened there? Yeah. Talk about lettuce in the bong and everything went all the heck down. Oh, wow. Anyway, you're listening to the Knights of the Round Table. It was a brilliant conversation going on, but for some reason, apparently, we just had a drop in the call. It all fell out when I talked about the people going to start shoving lettuce in their bong. Maybe I shouldn't have said that. All right, well, it's time to call them back. Hold on a second. Do-do-do-do-do. Dad Burn government don't want you to know certain things. That's all there is to all that. Alright, well, let me see if I can find a quick tune to throw on here. While I'm waiting to see if I can get these two back. Do-do-do-do. Stay tuned, you're listening to Knights of the Round Table.
Something happening here, but what it is ain't exactly clear. There's a man with a gun over there, telling me I got to beware. I think it's time we stop, children, watch that sound. Everybody look what's going down. Battle lines being drawn. Nobody's right if everybody's wrong. Young people speaking their minds are getting so much resistance from behind. Every time we stop, hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going down. What a field day for the heat. A thousand people in the street, singing songs and carrying signs, mostly say hooray for our sides. It's time we stop. Hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going down. Strikes deep into your life, it will creep. It starts when you're always afraid. Step out of line, the man come and take you away. We better stop. Hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going on. We better stop. Hey, what's
what's that sound? Everybody look what's going, you better stop now. What's that sound? Everybody look what's going, you better stop. Children, what's that sound?
Celebration of a natural kind, and the pleasure you'll experience will blow your mind.
Everybody, you're listening to the Knights of the Round Table. Apparently, you got to smoke a tractor trailer load of lettuce in your hookah in order to get a buzz. So don't be banning the salad out there, all you alphabet soup people. All right.
I don't think I'd be calling you soup. I'd be using another word that rhymes with soup.
I think you'd probably hyperventilate before you got a good buzz off through your hookah with your salad. So, I don't know.
Hey, you can get a good buzz off of hyperventilating, though, can't you?
Yeah, but we don't want people running around holding their breath till they turn blue, their eyeballs popping out and stuff. That bunch of Smurf people running around, that'd be scary enough, man. All right,
well,
so
those alphabet soup people who actually make money off a drug trade wouldn't be making any money anymore now, would they?
Yeah, that's a, and that, and you know, if they go banning the salads, there's going to be a whole lot of the vegetarians going hungry. You know, you can't have that.
Hey, man, you want to buy a bag of lettuce? I got a bag of lettuce for you.
Yeah, I got some cabbage, man.
Yeah, well, I want to say that everybody acts like vegetarians are like the calmest and you know, most passive people, but the fact is, most of the vegetarians I know who don't eat meat because they have a problem with harming animals have no problem harming humans, especially if they get in their way.
Yeah, you take away their salad, heck hath no fury like a vegetarian without no salad. Well, I'm going to tell you that. Anyway, moving right along, we're getting down to it, but man, I think it's been a brilliant show. We pointed out a bunch of different individuals out there to go look at on YouTube, you know, and everywhere from the young to the old. The maker J101 there, he's building an internal combustion engine using copper tubing and some different materials that he's put together. And the best part of the video is you wait till the end. It's episode number 5 that he's got right there. And you actually get to see this thing run that this kid created and to hear the excitement in his voice whenever he, you know, realized that he did all this and it actually did what he wanted it to do. So, you know, it's not about you can't do it. It's about what you're willing to try to do. You know, making the world a better place. It's as simple as you stepping up and pointing out information, alternatives to everything. We've talked about methods by which you can make hempcrete that Barry's talking about. You got a house that you ain't going to have to worry about burning down. You know, that's a plus in my book. You know,
a couple hundred thousand lives saved from fires every year, or how many people die in fires every year, that could be eliminated, guys. Totally.
Yeah.
You know, do you really want your house burning down? I believe somebody coined the phrase already. Ain't nobody got time for that.
Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah.
No, that's a show.
Let's agree with that.
Well, imagine the industry it would create, gentlemen. Just imagine the industry, all of a sudden, the paradigm shift away from things that are detrimental to the world to something that's positive. Let's build the factories to build into hempcrete 2x4s, the 2x6s. No more fires. Eliminate the death of firemen. Eliminate the death of people, the property loss, the grief, everything that goes with it. Insurance companies.
Well,
the whole nine yards. The ripple effect for our community.
Why do we have to ask permission? Why stop?
No, we're doing it.
Let's find alternatives for those people who are not allowed to use hemp so they don't get thrown in jail for doing it.
But we said to them,
until we start them out so that we can, you know, make it legal to do the things that people should be allowed to do.
Well, here's a suggestion. In the areas where it is legal, you create a manufacturing facility there where you can build the 2x4s, and it's not illegal to ship the 2x4s. It's not something you can smoke or anything like that just because it's made out of hemp, whether it be clothing or whatever. Wherever it's legal to grow it, then you grow it. You build a manufacturing facility.
There was a law against importing hemp-based products. In fact, there was a huge to-do over the fact that the Canadian government was suing the American government for loss of financial gain from the, you know, all those crops and whatnot they were using to make products with.
Huh.
Well, so I mean, I don't put anything past these people. I don't put anything past them. So you just have to remember to keep.
The government has laid down
the guidelines. The tree that bends in the wind will not break.
Well,
you know?
That's why you need the brilliant minds out there who are searching up the all the laws and know the ins and outs. And I'm not talking about your regular standard attorney ambulance chaser out there. I'm talking about people who really care and they want to know what you can do and what you can't do to keep you out of trouble. You know, unfortunately, we're intertwined with this system, and there's certain things you just can't do without risking your safety, you know, and there's a lot of people that ain't willing to throw themselves on the fence in order to get everybody else over the fence. But in the meantime, if you pay attention to all these brilliant minds, ain't nothing stopping you from making it yourself, you know. As long as you're in an area where you can legally grow it for, you know, use for, like, you know, making stuff out of, then, you know, you can benefit in your own general area, and those folks around you can benefit. So there are solutions out there, even in
again,
a
twisted... All I'm pointing out is that fence is not perfect. There are cracks in that fence.
Exactly.
Yeah. Search for those cracks and climb through. Once you get on the other side of that fence, you're free to do all that stuff that you wanted to do on the other side of the fence.
Well, knowledge will create the demand, which will knock down the fences, buddy. Simple as that. When people become aware of what can be done, just with hemp creed, if we could just get it into people's heads that you can build a house. Think about it. You're building a brand new house. You're worried about, you got your family. You know, you're worried about the house ever catching fire. I say to you, hey, look, you know, we got a new industry coming. We got this product that will not burn. And that's just one of the small advantages. It doesn't put out any toxins in your air. Any of the building products you have in your house release toxins into your air 24/7, 365 days a year. That's a fact. Hempcrete releases nothing. Will last 600 years. So what are we doing, guys? No more cutting down trees. Let's just, done. Plant fields full of industrial hemp. The government has guidelines. They say anything under 0.5% THC is allowable. Well, all we do, I mean, even the industrial hemp now, I think it's just around those numbers, but you can genetically make those plants so they don't have any THC and without affecting the planet. And we get to that point, then you have the product. The government can't get in our way. To hell with those guys. And we start getting people to say, yeah, I want a house built with hempcrete. And then all of a sudden the business is there and the industry starts. And they can't stop it because there's nothing illegal about it. It's just knowledge, man. That's all it is knowledge of what we can do with this fiber.
Yeah, and as far as sturdy...
about other fibers, but hemp is the best of any. I mean, there's thousands of fibers out there, like you're saying, Tom. There's all kinds of things we can use for fiber, but the hemp fiber is...
That's not true. That's just it. That's not true. What? Hemp has a king point because it has so many different attributes that it has that it's good at. That if you look at those other elements... those other plants, you will find plants that are actually better at one thing or another as a specialized source. They'll work better than the hemp, but they won't give you the diversity. So, like, let's say you're using something to make clothes. You find something that works really good at making clothes, but it's terrible for making fuel.
Well, either way, guys, you know, we're right down to the wire. And the brilliance of all that is finding out which ones work best for which and getting that knowledge out there. But, you know, with either one of these hempcrete or whatever, there are super structures that you can build. There's they actually bring balloons out, and they air this thing up, and then they concrete over the top of it. And when it's done, you got a dome to cut the balloon door off, mm-hmm. and you got a perfectly strong windproof structure that is insulated, you know? So there's all kinds of potential.
Well, yeah, like
there.
I said, you know, what about crossbreeding things too? You know, let's stay away from the whole GMO thing. But you know, people have been mixing and matching genomes with plants that are capable of working together.
Yeah.
All the time. I mean, that's how the banana came about. There are no bananas that you can get seeds for and grow a banana tree. You can't do it. They literally cut banana trees up and then plant the pieces to grow more banana trees. So they're all genetically identical.
Wow.
And they do cross-pollination and whatnot of several different types of plantain-type trees to get a specific breed or a specific type of tree to produce those bananas. The problem is that the banana tree itself is more like a mule. You know, it can't give off any offspring. Its seeds are all sterile. So you can't grow new ones. You have to literally work from cuttings. Well, even if you had to do that with something like, let's say we find a way to bind the properties of kudzu with the properties of hemp, you were talking about 2 years to get a yield, right? One yield a year, right? To increase the content, the quality of the soil and whatnot with the hemp.
Yep.
You're waiting a whole year for a crop. With kudzu, you don't wait a year. That stuff's called a mile a night.
Yeah,
I mean, you could probably plant that stuff and go back out 2 weeks later and get the same yield if it will produce something you need that you normally could get from hemp.
Wow, you could put some...
You could literally flood the world with whatever it is that those people are needing.
But the thing about the hemp plant, Tom, is that the root systems in the hemp plant is why it's so good for revitalizing soil. And
right. So let's try this.
Okay.
Let's try cross-pollinating kudzu with something that can be cross-pollinated with hemp, and let's get some hybrid growing that you don't need seeds from. You can literally chop it up into pieces,
yep.
Spread the pieces all over,
yeah.
And it just starts propagating all over the place. And as long as it doesn't get too cold, wherever you're storing that stuff, you can dry it out and save it for the next year if you have to.
Put you up a chicken wire dome and grow you a house like a chia pet.
Good possibility, depending on how it's set up and how you can. You'd have to go around and control what's growing off it. But hey, the whole point I brought up about the kudzu, because it can be turned into alcohol, is that you are having people right now going around in the South spraying diesel fuel on the side of the road to kill these things off so they do not tear down the power lines.
Wow.
Okay?
Wow.
If you made it into a fuel source that the oil industry was going to use, it'd be gone in no time flat.
It'd be cleaned right out.
Those plants would become an endangered species. You know?
Yeah, and no diesel oil.
Now, here's the thing, too. You can't poison the stuff. You cannot put poison. Every poison that they have for getting rid of, plants that will affect the kudzu will also, for miles in all directions, kill off all the soybeans.
Sounds
to me like there's a feasibility study done right now on what you're talking about, and if it's feasible, put it in front of somebody
with a few bucks
and jump on it.
Yep, guys.
Right. I put the formula together and put it out there.
We got a whole list
of the steps and everything.
We're down to it. We're down to it. It's brilliant information.
No overdrive today? No overdrive today?
No, we already went that way.
We're just getting warmed up, Shazam.
I know.
Mad Science After Hours show.
Yeah, save some of that brilliance for the next Knights of the Round Table. But either way, it's been a really good show. We put a couple people out there in the spotlight for their YouTube channels. If you get an opportunity to go over there, shazizradio.com/superchat.html, and check out some of them links that some of the people posted in there, and just see what these brilliant talented individuals have to offer out there. And like I said before a million times before, if we could get all these people to the table, there's nothing that we can't accomplish. So you guys got any last quick words before we jump on out of here? Don't everybody jump the microphone at once. Don't nobody chip it too.
I'll say this one last little thing about the plant, the ordeal. Okay, there are a huge amount of people out there, a very large percentage of the population, that will argue to death that plants cannot replace the other sources of their needs. Mm. And therefore, and no matter how hard you try to get people to believe that hemp can be used for something, you have two strikes against you right there. If you could get rid of one of those by proving with something that's not illegal in any of the areas in America that
Amen.
You could actually use a plant to solve a problem,
Amen.
It would be so much easier to sell them on legalizing the hemp and getting rid of any restrictions around it. Because, it's not doing... How long have we had a war on drugs? How long have we had a war on drugs? We've had a war on poverty for how long? We have failed miserably. Everything that we have ever had, the government has ever gone to war against. Unless that war is going to completely annihilate the entire culture, you're never going to succeed. That means to get rid of the war on to win the war on drugs, you have to win the war on people.
Knowledge.
Are we willing to kill every single human being on the planet to end drug use?
Yep.
Just because you don't agree with it.
War on everything, man. And like you said, there ain't nobody winning that war. They're just making more people in jail and making more people get hurt.
You don't win wars because they require violence to do it. Anytime you start anytime you introduce violence into a situation to try to solve the problem, you exacerbate it. It's like blowing wind on a fire, making it spread.
Well spread.
Making it worse. So, we got to start somewhere. And a solution for that, like I said, let's set up a Kickstarter. Let's get a small parcel of ground somewhere where someone's willing to start cooking down and making
some general everyday what's considered weed plants that nobody wants growing on the side of the road into useful products.
Yep. That sounds like a good
toilet
plan,
paper,
man.
Fuel, plastics.
My last thought.
So plants could be the solution, you know?
And I'll add my last thought. You got me shaking here with your comments there, buddy, because you nailed it right on the head. Everything our body is provided by the earth. And when we can get rid of that cloak from people's eyes, we'll see that.
Yeah, I think we lost you there, Barry. All right, everybody, you've been listening to the Knights Roundtable. We lost you there, Barry. You're back?
I'm here, yeah.
Yeah, go ahead and finish out. We lost the last portion of your deal.
Well, okay, it don't matter. I won't repeat it. But just all I said, Shaziz, is look to the earth for the answer, because the earth will provide.
You can learn a lot from nature. Nature has all the cures and all the solutions out there, and all you brilliant individuals out there come to the table.
Anything that's in a pill? Seriously, anything that's in a pill started in a plant or an animal.
That's right.
You know, you're taking Valiums to calm down. Hey, that came from valerian root. They extracted that from a plant's root. Just
all
an
right.
example.
Yeah.
You know?
Great example. Well, everybody, you all take care, and thanks, guys. It's been a brilliant show. You guys have been listening to the Knights of the Roundtable. If you like what we had to say here, ship it around to your friends. The podcast will be up right shortly. Peace and love, everybody. Stay tuned.
Man, sorry. What knight lives in that castle over there?
I'm 37.
What?
I'm 37. I'm not old.
Well, I can't just call you man.
You could say Dennis.
I didn't know you were called Dennis.
Well, you didn't bother to find out, did you?
I did say sorry about the old woman, but from behind you looked...
What I object to is you automatically treat me like an inferior.
Well, I am king.
Oh, king, eh? Very nice. And how'd you get that, eh? By exploiting the workers. By hanging on to outdated imperialist dogma which perpetuates the economic and social differences in our society. If there's ever going to be any progress...
Dennis, there's some lovely filth down here. Oh, how'd you do?
How do you do, good lady? I'm Arthur, King of the Britons. Whose castle is that?
King of the who?
The Britons.
Who are the Britons?
Well, we all are. We are all Britons. And I am your king.
I didn't know we had a king. I thought we were an autonomous collective.
You're fooling yourself. We're living in a dictatorship. A self-perpetuating autocracy in which the working classes...
Oh, there you go, bringing class into it again.
That's what it's all about. If only people would...
Please, please, good people. I am in haste. Who lives in that castle?
No one lives there.
Then who is your lord?
We don't have a lord.
What?
I told you, we're an anarcho-syndicalist commune. We take it in turns to act as a sort of executive officer for the week.
Yes.
But all the decisions of that officer have to be ratified at a special bi-weekly meeting.
Yes, I see.
By a simple majority in the case of purely internal affairs.
Be quiet.
But by a two-thirds majority in the case of more...
Be quiet. I order you to be quiet.
Order? Who does he think he is?
I'm your king.
Well, I didn't vote for you.
You don't vote for kings.
Well, how'd you become king, then?
The Lady of the Lake, her arm clad in the purest shimmering samite, held aloft Excalibur from the bosom of the water, signifying by divine providence that I, Arthur, was to carry Excalibur. That is why I'm your king.
Listen, strange women lying in ponds distributing swords is no basis for a system of government. Supreme executive power derives from a mandate from the masses, not from some farcical aquatic ceremony.
Be quiet!
Oh, but you can't expect to wield supreme executive power just because some watery tart threw a sword at you.
Shut up!
Oh, but if I went round saying I was an emperor just because some moistened bint had lobbed a scimitar at me, they'd put me away.
Shut up! Will you shut up?
Ah, now we see the violence inherent in the system.
Shut up!
Oh. Come and see the violence inherent in the system! Help! Help! I'm being repressed!
Bloody peasant!
Oh, what a giveaway! Did you hear that? Did you hear that, eh? That's what I'm on about! Did you see him repressing me? You saw it, didn't you?
Camelot! Camelot! Camelot!
It's only a model.
Shh! Knights, I bid you welcome to your new home. Let us ride to... Camelot!
We're Knights of the Round Table, three knots whenever we're able. We do routines, to call the scenes, to put work in bed cable. We dine well here in Camelot, we eat ham and jam and spam art. We're Knights of the Round Table, our shows are more mid-able. The many times we give and rhyme, the
riding in the precinct of the diapamela.
I have to push the pram a lot.
No, on second thoughts, let's not go to Camelot. It is a silly place.
Right.
Always looking to fill the turbo and the Knights of the Round Table.